Mother's Day, just around the corner. Call Kuhn Flowers and send mom a beautiful floral arrangement. She'll love it and she'll love you. This is Dan Hicken, and Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Welcome to Rockville Presents XL Primetime.
With the fifth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey, defensive back, Florida State.
With your host, Joe Cowart.
With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
That's cool.
Hacker.
With the 69th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Yannick Ngakoue, defensive end, Maryland.
Matt Hayes.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Leonard Fournette, running back, LSU.
And Leon Searcy.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Taven Bryan, defensive tackle, Florida.
They keep loading up
on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And a very good draft day Thursday to you, Jacksonville. It is XL Primetime, 1010XL and 92.5 FM. With former Jacksonville Jaguar offensive tackle Leon Searcy, with Matt Hayes, national college football writer for the Bleacher Report. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Joe Cowart will be along with us in a little bit. He's finishing up some PGA Tour duties. Gentlemen, after 116 days of conversation, of blood, sweat, and tears in this radio studio, Leon, discussing Jawan Taylor, discussing T.J. Hockenson, discussing Jonah Williams, Ed Oliver, on down the line. Here we are, draft day, a little under 8 hours away. So Roger Goodell takes that podium in Nashville and officially puts the Arizona Cardinals on the clock. We'll obviously talk about the Jaguars. We'll obviously look around the National Football League. But all in all, it's a great day for 32 young men whose lives will forever change this evening.
Absolutely. And you notice why I put on this shirt today. You know,
Superman.
I'm rocking the Superman
yeah.
shirt because, listen, I don't care how long it's been since I've been drafting in 1992. Draft day is always special to me. It's always going to be a special day for me. And that's that one particular day when you're drafted by a team, is this is how you feel when you get that phone call and the team calls you and says, we're going to draft you such and such pick in the NFL draft, because it was a lifelong dream for me as a kid. I remember being as a kid just watching TV, just dreaming one day of being able to play in the National Football League. And what a better day is this? You should make it a holiday, National Draft Day. What a better day today. But I got an interesting story I want to tell you that happened to me on the today to work. I'm going to work. I live in Orange Park. I'm coming across the bridge, and I'm on 295, and I have to get on Jacksonville to, you know, to get to Southside.
Right.
So I see a guy to the right of me. I'm in the fast lane. There's a guy to the right of me. He's in a Jack Lambert shirt.
Okay? Oh.
He's in a Jack Lambert shirt, and he has this Pittsburgh Steeler helmet on. So I'm saying, this guy's getting ready for the draft. I'm right. He's rocking the Pittsburgh Steeler. So I have to get over into the Jacksonville Jaguar. I have to get into the Jacksonville exit. And I have, you know, I have to maneuver and cut with it. So I ended up cutting the guy off, and he was on a motorcycle. I ended up cutting the guy off, and the guy flipped me off.
Oh, he shot you the bird.
He shot me the bird. So I'm saying to myself, I wonder if this guy knows that he just flipped off the 1992 Pittsburgh Steelers first-round pick.
Right. My question would be, did he see who he was shooting the bird to?
Oh, well, listen, he was on his motorcycle.
Not many guys shoot birds to Leon Searcy.
Well, you listen, I cut the guy off. Okay.
Deserve the bird.
I deserve the bird.
Leon, you could cut me off, and I'd say, no problem, sir. Keep going.
But I was just,
There's no issue here whatsoever.
When he flipped me the bird, I was thinking to myself, now, does this guy know he just flipped off
right. The
first-round pick of 1992 Pittsburgh Steelers?
Wow.
But that's just happened to me this morning.
Was the helmet he wearing, was it a motorcycle helmet or was it an actual helmet?
No, it was a motor. It was a helmet. It was one of those cut. It wasn't a full helmet, but it was like a cut half helmet.
Right.
But it had the Pittsburgh Steelers emblem on it.
The logo on it. Okay, yeah,
He was rocking the Jack Lambert jersey.
Good for him.
So I knew the guy was getting ready for the draft, but then when, you know, I cut him off, he flipped me off. And I said, I wonder if he knows that he just flipped off a first-round pick, Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's always a good way to start your Thursday.
See, that's my draft day story. Yeah. I just wanted to give you
that. So wait, I want to kind of circle back. So when you know this day is here.
Mm-hmm.
And you as an elite athlete, a guy that's going to be drafted, a guy that likely is going to be picked in the first round, is the excitement for you, is it about the culmination of a lifelong dream of playing in the NFL, or is it the excitement about now it's a business, now I'm going to make money for what I'm doing?
No, when I got drafted, believe it or not, I didn't think about the money. I just thought about the fact that it was a lifelong dream and journey for me to play in the NFL. And to the ultimate was being named, getting that phone call from that team. When that team calls you and say, hey, Leon Searcy, we're going to draft you such and such pick right. in the first round.
Right.
It's just a culmination of all that stuff. And then to actually get the phone call and then to actually look at it on TV and see your name introduced by the commissioner, it's overwhelming, to be quite honest.
Now, right. we're going to get into the Jaguars and our thoughts on them. But, Leon, there's not many guys that you can talk to on draft day that were taken in round one. We have that opportunity with you. You were the 11th pick in the 1992 draft. So you get the phone call from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess it was Paul Tagliabue at the time, right? Goes to the podium, announces Leon Searcy is the selection of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, actually, didn't he? He made a mistake.
Oh, the Ed Searcy. But you knew you were going to be a Steeler. So tonight, when the commissioner announces the name, the guys that are there will go across that stage. All right, wonderful. Cameras are gone. You're back in the green room.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then? Do you get on the phone with the team? Do they arrange your flight? When do you fly out? What interview responsibilities do you have?
You get all of that. The first thing that happens, once you get drafted, the next thing you do is you get a phone call from the organization. They've already booked your flight. They give you the information on your flight, okay? It's just you, okay? You know, no parental guidance. All of a sudden, you're a grown man now. You've been a grown man, but now this is the business part of it. Everything that you handle from now on outside of your agent is all about the business. So you fly out. I get to Pittsburgh. They pick me up in a town car. I go to the facilities. When I get to the facilities, I'm in awe because I see the Lombardis. When you walk through the lobby of the Steelers back in 92, see the Lombardis.
Yeah, yeah.
You see all the greats on the side of the wall. You see the Franco, the Lamberts, the Bradshaws, the Lynn Swans. All their jerseys are lined up. So I'm like freaking out. I'm like, this is amazing. So then you go into the locker room. Then you go in the locker room, and then you actually see your locker. Mm-hmm. Your actual Searcy is on the locker. So I walk in the locker and I see Searcy on the locker. Now, I don't have my jersey and stuff like that, but I see Searcy on the locker. I meet the trainers and I meet all the people that I'm going to be associated with that year.
Wait, did you get choked up when you saw your name on a locker?
I did get choked up. I mean, a storied organization like the Steelers to see your name on the locker,
that's really just cool.
Crazy. Yeah. So then I leave the locker room. I go out onto the field. Now, when I go out onto the field, there's media everywhere. And they've got it staged where you got certain interviews with certain people, and then you have a mass media where it's kind of like you're at the podium. They ask you questions about how you feel like being a Steeler and this and that. So you go through the whole interview process. You get a tour of the facilities and all that kind of stuff. Then you get a night on the town. The coolest thing that happened to me on my night on the town is that I had dinner with Franco.
Oh, wow. Franco Harris, yeah.
Nice.
Now, and that's the interesting thing, though, Leon, is you have dinner with Franco Harris. Everything's great. But you got to relocate. You're going from one city to the next. I mean, you got OTAs and rookie minicamp, but 2 weeks away.
That's the last thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're having dinner with Franco. So come on, give.
Well, I didn't say much.
Right?
I didn't say much. I'm just listening because Franco's there, and then there's one of the owners is there, Cowher's there, and then there's a bunch of other people around.
Right.
We've got this big table, and everything's on them. This is the last time everything's on them, trust me.
Right, right.
So they treated me dinner. They're talking, they're giving to me the expectations of what it is to be on this team, and they're high. Yeah, they're high. This is what we expect from you, Leon. You come from a school that's known for winning. We're going to have that winning tradition here, and I'm buying all into it. I'm sold. But you got to remember, I still haven't signed the contract now. It's all fun and games right now after you get drafted. But, you know, the business part comes into it afterwards. You know, the contract and this and that, whatever. This was just like recruiting day. This is like a visit on a recruit.
Right.
I'm visiting the Steelers organization. I'm getting a testimony of what they expect from me and all that kind of stuff. So I'm loving it.
Now, to be honest now, right, were part of you thinking, – and I really want to ask Franco about the Immaculate Reception. I really want to ask him.
I think he gave me this. I believe he talked about it. I was just all ears. Listen, I was like a sponge. I wasn't doing any talking. I was just absorbing all of this.
Right, right.
I was just enjoying the moment at the fact I'm tripping out because I'm saying, wow, I'm a first-round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
By this organization.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm tripping on it. I'm seriously tripping on it.
There's 32 guys that will get drafted tonight into the National Football League. One of them will be right here in Jacksonville. The Jaguars, at least one of them. The Jaguars hold the 7th pick currently in the NFL draft. Guys, I got 6 guys' names that we have talked about for the last almost 4 months. TJ Hockenson, Jawan Taylor, Jonah Williams, and then defensively, Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, and Josh Allen. For the life of me, if the Jaguars stay at 7, I cannot see a situation where one of those 6 guys is not a Jacksonville Jaguar. I would be stunned if it was DK Metcalf. I would be stunned if it was anybody other than Hockenson, Taylor, Jonah Williams, Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, or Josh Allen. With that as a backdrop, let's go rapid fire here, about 45 seconds, a minute each on each one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with TJ Hockenson. One pro and one con. One reason to draft TJ Hockenson, mm-hmm. one reason not to draft TJ Hockenson. Leon, I'll go first. TJ Hockenson, the pro would be something the Jaguars don't have. The Jaguars are void of much at the tight end position. TJ Hockenson would absolutely fill that. The con to me would be TJ Hockenson's great, but if Nick Foles is on his back, he's not going to do very much for you. There would still leave a void, in my opinion, mm-hmm. at the right tackle position.
Okay, well, my pro for TJ Hockenson is, one, he's going to be a mismatch on the field. Day one, he's going to be a mismatch. I mean, I've seen film on this kid. He's very versatile. He's going to stretch the field. Everything that we want to do as an offense is going vertical. He's going to create mismatches on the field. My con for him is development. That's the only – I did some – last year I looked at the top tight ends that went into the draft in 2018. They only accumulated collectively 68 receptions, which means that their development was kind of slow And, you know, that would be my only thing, his development as a tight end, as a rookie tight end going into the NFL.
Matt, what about Hockenson?
My pros are I want to stress the defense. That's what I want to do. I want to put stress on a defense. And I think he can do that in the passing game. And bonus, he can be a rock on the outside in the run game. Those are my two big bonuses. And for anyone talking about how he only had, I think he had like 60-something total career catches, they don't throw the ball at Iowa, okay? He'll catch 60 balls in his first year. That's going to happen. So the con, I guess the only con is taking a tight end at the 7 is the value there. And if you really believe he could be a Travis Kelce, if he could be a Rob Gronkowski, those are two big comparisons. You know, I mean, those are probably two Hall of Famers, okay? Two big comparisons. If you believe he can be that, then I'm okay with that 7.
Jawan Taylor's been all the talk for a while. It's kind of died off in the last week. The reason I believe it's died off, I think there might be some injury concerns with Jawan Taylor. Maybe Russ Landy mentioned that a little bit yesterday, I believe, on Jaguars Today. There could be an injury red flag or two with Jawan Taylor. And Leon, as you've said for as long as we've been doing the show together, almost 4 months, he's a right tackle. Do you take a right tackle only, a guy that can only play right tackle? Do you take him at 7? Is it even possible to move him to the left side? I don't believe it is. I don't think a lot of scouts believe it is. So because Jawan Taylor may have an injury red flag and because Jawan Taylor can only play right tackle, those are my cons. What's my pro to taking Jawan Taylor? Well, he would fit a position of need. They need a right tackle. Jawan Taylor is a right tackle. The puzzle pieces would at least fit in that regard.
Well, my pro for Jawan Taylor would be, one, his size. He's 6'5", 334 pounds. He's got 35 and an eighth arms, which is long arms for a right tackle. He's got good mobility. And last year, he only gave up 1 sack as a right tackle. So I think he's pro-ready day one. Now, my con for Jawan Taylor is that he's only played right tackle. In the run game, he's a little high. He plays a little high as a right tackle. And he's going to need better hands at the next level. His hand placement in the run game and the pass protecting game is kind of shaky.
My pro is he's very strong. All right, he fits the mold. I think he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. The con is your tape is your resume. What did he do at Florida that makes everyone think, yeah, this guy's the best offensive lineman in the draft? I just don't see it. I don't see it, and I've said this 100 times. If you're the best offensive lineman on your team in college, you're playing left tackle, and he never played left tackle. Except for like 1 or 2 games when they were injured. They had injuries at that spot.
Right. And like we said, you know, I did the story on 1010XL.com. Jawan Taylor in the recruiting process, going back only 3.5 years, was a top 50 guard prospect. He wasn't even really looked at as a tackle coming into Florida. They converted him to tackle, and he played well, but he never could supplant Martez Ivey on the left side. He played right tackle almost a majority of his career. Jonah Williams, to me, I think Jonah Williams at Alabama is a Tom Coughlin guy. I think, you know, as Joe said earlier, he made all the notebooks and studied all the film and has tendencies of all the opponents that he plays. I mean, Tom Coughlin would just absolutely love a guy like Jonah Williams. That's mm-hmm. the pro. The con for me on Jonah Williams, Leon, is unlike you, I still believe Cam Robinson is this team's future left tackle. And if you draft Jonah Williams, are you going to draft him very similar to Juwan Taylor? Are you going to draft Jonah Williams to play right tackle? And if you do, is 7 too high to draft a right tackle? Because I am absolutely fine with Cam Robinson starting the year at left, which means if you draft Jonah Williams, he's going to play right tackle, which goes back into your Juwan Taylor argument, at least to me, that 7 might be too high to draft a right tackle.
Okay, well, with Jonah Williams, for one, the pros are I think he's going to be a day one starter, whoever drafts him. I think he's a day. I like his techniques and his fundamentals. I like his impact in the run game. Now, the con on him is naturally a left tackle. You would like to have longer arms. I mean, which, you know, I mean, that's a little bit overblown, but everybody's been talking about the fact he doesn't have very long arms. And the second con for me is that I saw him in the Clemson game, and against power speed rushes, he seemed a little bit overwhelmed in those kinds of things. And that, you're going to see that in the NFL. You're going to see get-off power speed rushes in the NFL level on a consistent basis. And that's a little leery for me because when I watched him in the championship game against Clemson, it was on certain occasions he's got overwhelmed. So that would be my only con for him.
My pro is he's played three really good seasons at an elite-level school.
And he started from day one.
At an elite-level school, his tape is his resume. He's played really well at one the top two or three teams in the country every year. My con is if you're going to take a left tackle, I take Dillard. So that's my con, and that's not really a con on him. It's more of a I like Dillard better as a left tackle. If you're going to take left tackle and move Cam Robinson to the right, I would take Dillard.
You know, you talk about the defensive guys, and again, the only way these defensive guys, Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, or Josh Allen, are going to be there at number 7 is if the Raiders do something interesting at 4 or if somebody trades up to take Haskins.
Right.
I don't think if the draft stays as is, I'd be shocked if Oliver, Williams, or Allen will be there, barring something odd happening. Could it happen? Absolutely. And because it could happen, we'll bring these three up. Ed Oliver, to me, the con is very simple. The guy could be a potential locker room problem. And Leon, the Jaguars have had a lot of locker room issues. They don't need to bring another one in. We all remember Ed Oliver on the sideline with his head coach at the University of Houston getting in just a shouting match on live national television. Was not a good look for Ed Oliver. That's my con. My pro for Ed Oliver, the guy is a monster. The guy is an absolute specimen. He is a beast. But is he so much of a beast that you overlook the fact that you could potentially be bringing in a locker room issue?
Yeah, my con for him is his attitude. That was a bad look on the sideline with his coach, with the jacket and everything like that. So that's a red flag for me. Secondly, his productivity. Outside of his first year starting, when he had all those sacks and tackles for loss, his productivity has went down from year after year. Now, that has a lot to do with injuries because he's been injury prone throughout his career, whatever. But his first time starting, he was a lot more productive than he was as his career went on. Now, my pro for him is that he has a quick first step. He's very athletic, and he has great closing bursts. He gets after people. Like you said, he's a monster as a three-technique. He gets after the offense. So that would be my pros and my cons for him.
My pro for Ed Oliver is in the last 3 years, college football players playing at their elite level, playing at the best they played, two guys stood out in the last 3 years. Ed Oliver and Jeffrey Simmons. All things being equal, I think they would be the two most ready guys in this draft right now, okay? The big con, I think, for Ed Oliver is, I think the last 2 years, and speaking of big cons, or as JJ says, the long con, I think he shut it down the last 2 years is what I think. And that's why I think he got injured, too. I think he pulled back a little bit. He realized, look, this first year, I just showed everybody I'm a first-round pick, and everybody was talking about Ed Oliver being the number one overall pick. And I truly believe he pulled it back a little bit. And don't kid yourself, Leonard Fournette pulled it back a little bit in his junior year too. So to me, I don't like drafting guys like that are saying, you know what, I'm going to save it a little bit. And I'm all for the players trying to stay healthy, and I get it. And that's why I've been saying you got to give them their name, image, and likeness so they can earn money right away so they don't have 3 or 4 wasted earning years potential. So I'm all for that. But I don't want to draft a guy who shut it down the last couple of years.
We need to go rapid fire here, so I'm going to link Quinnen Williams and Josh Allen together. This is very simple, Leon, both these guys, Williams and Allen. The pro is that defensive line is going to become an issue for Jacksonville in a year or two Calais Campbell's not getting any younger. Marcel Darius isn't getting any younger. You already lost Fowler. You already cut Malik Jackson. You're going to have to start replenishing what was arguably the best part of this team. These guys would do that. These guys are phenomenal football players. I'd be stunned if either one of them were at seven. My con about taking them, I don't have a con for these guys. Other than I would rather take an offensive guy to help your $88 million man. The only con I can think about Josh Allen being a Jaguar or Quinnen Williams being a Jaguar has nothing to do with them on the field. It has to do with, well, you took a defensive guy. That means your $88 million quarterback is not getting any help in that offensive huddle.
Yeah, but listen, my pro for both of these guys is that they're elite pass rushers. They are elite defenders. They get after the quarterback. They stop the run. Especially Josh Allen is an elite pass rusher as far as using his hand, technique, fundamental, speed rusher, gets after the quarterback. I don't really have a con for either one of them. I would love either one of these guys to fall in our lap as far as a seven-pick call. I'm hoping that Oakland, something in my mind just tells me that Oakland is going to create all kind of chaos, and one of these guys is going to fall on our lap. Now, whether we choose one or not, Depends. If you, I'm asking you this question, Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen falls in that lap, do you still take Hockenson?
No.
Or do you build on the
No. If Williams or Allen are there, those are the only two. I would take Hockenson over Ed Oliver.
Okay.
I would not take Hockenson over Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen.
There we go.
So my pro is Williams, Allen, and Bosa are the three cleanest picks in this draft right now. They are locks. They're going to play day one, and they're going to play really hard and really well. That's my pro for those two. I mean, you can take them, and you do not have to worry about it. They're getting on the field, and they're getting after it. You're not going to have motor problems for any of the three. They're not going to be locker room problems. They're going to get after it. The con is I have no con because if for some crazy reason one of those two drops to them, or even Bosa, which would be unbelievable, you got to be out of your mind and not take them. Absolutely out of your mind. And I understand that you got to get help for Nick Foles. I get it. But the tight end class is really deep, and I really think if you badly wanted to get him help, then you know what you do? You waste a couple picks or whatever, get up into the back end of the first round and get Irv Smith at tight end. But I'm telling you right now, if either one of those guys fell to them, I mean, I would run to the podium with either one of those names.
No, it won't happen, but hypothetically, both guys are available. Williams and Allen. You would go Allen because you think speed rush over interior D-line?
I do, only because, yeah, like I was saying yesterday, I think the guy's on the edge because it's a quarterback-oriented league, and it's a vertical league now in the passing game, which means you're going to take a little extra second or so to get ready and get set and throw the ball. You got to get guys that can pressure the quarterback, and I think you can pressure the quarterback easier on the outside than you can on the interior.
Jaguars pick 7th overall in the National Football League draft tonight. The draft coverage here on 1010XL will begin at 7 o'clock. Frank Frangie, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli will have a draft special here for you live from the stadium down there, TIAA Bank Field, 7 to 10 o'clock this evening right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We'll come back. We'll give you our final predictions on who the Jaguars will draft. We'll also look around the National Football League. Is Kyler Murray going to Arizona? Overwhelmingly this morning, that's what everybody seems to be saying. Save one or two people that have thrown out there some interesting trade possibilities. We'll talk about that. What about Dwayne Haskins? Is Washington trading into the top five? Is Cincinnati trading into the top five? Or if Dwayne Haskins somehow makes it to 7 in Jacksonville, do the Jaguars find themselves a trade partner where they can get out of the top 10 and accumulate picks later on? We got a lot to discuss. The NFL draft is this evening, Jacksonville, and we're glad you're with us. It's Thursday edition of XL Primetime right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I was on the phone with some coaches, GMs yesterday in the top 10 of the draft, and they're saying they can't remember a draft that had more uncertainty where they can't even predict who they're taking because we heard talk about the Jets trading out, teams coming up to take a quarterback. We've heard intermittent talk about the Raiders going for a quarterback or not going for a quarterback. I ultimately come back to what you hear at the beginning of the draft cycle is usually what turns out to be the truth.
More Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
Adam Schefter, ESPN, this morning giving his thoughts on the draft tonight. Jacksonville, the 7th overall pick in the National Football League draft. They have 3 picks tomorrow night, which could be interesting. Do they use a couple of those picks to trade back in to the tail end of round 1 this evening? We'll certainly discuss that as well. Leon Searcy is here. Matt Hayes is here. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Joe Cowart will be along momentarily. Gentlemen, Mel Kiper Jr. put out his final mock draft this morning. I'm going to go down one by one. You tell me if this is how you think it is going to play out. We'll start at the very top. Everybody has an opinion on Kyler Murray. Matt, you and I have talked about Kyler Murray for months. Leon, you've been in on the conversations as well. Ultimately now, here we are on draft day. Do you believe Kyler Murray will be the number one pick in the draft to the Arizona Cardinals?
I believe he's going to be the number one pick in the draft by the Arizona Cardinals, unless Oakland does something. They have three picks in the first round, so they can gamble a little bit. I mean, I know they're going to Vegas next year, but their gambling could start tonight and what they do, because there's no rumor that Gruden likes Kyler Murray. So I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Oakland Raiders trade up to go get Kyler Murray at number one. That's the reason why I love the draft so much. It's so unpredictable. If everything was cut and dry and you knew who the top 10 picks, there'd be no reason to watch it.
Right.
That's why I like the uncertainties. I like the guys go up, guys go down, fluctuate, this pick, that pick, teams maneuver, all that kind of. That's why the draft was moved from 12 o'clock when I was playing to prime time now. You know, now it's a primetime show. I mean, it's must-see TV.
I still miss Saturday at high noon. We had some legendary draft parties
absolutely,
in the city of Jacksonville on the various radio stations.
Well, listen, right now, you got people right now that are tailgating draft parties. So that's what I love about the draft. So I'm not sure. I mean, I want total chaos tonight. I mean, I want guys moving up and down, guys trading this and that, guys falling in people. I don't like the certainty of guys being – they're going to this guy, this guy going to this team. I think the top 10 could be very interesting come tonight.
He's going one or two. It really gets interesting if the Cardinals pick Bosa.
Well, to your credit, Matt, you said Kyler Murray was going to be a top five pick for a long, long, long time.
But let's think about this, okay? I would love to see this. If the Cardinals take Bosa, as my buddy Pete Prisco thinks they're going to do, then what you're doing, if you're a team looking at this and you have a lot of interest in Murray, then you want him, okay? Then you're thinking, all right, well, San Francisco, they don't need him. The Jets, they don't need him. The Raiders, yeah, that's where it hits. So if you're behind,
maybe is he a Gruden quarterback?
If you're, I think he definitely is. Yeah. I think Gruden famously
won with Brad
famously,
Johnson,
infamously, however you want to look at it, falls in love with quarterbacks and falls hard. Okay, so if you're the Dolphins, if you're the Redskins, if you're the Broncos and you want Kyler Murray, you want him, then you got to think, all right, I got to get ahead of the Raiders. So then you're going to see them trade up. And then everything's going to start to turn. And then to me, that will be the most fascinating thing if the Cardinals don't take Kyler Murray. If they do, I think then the most fascinating move becomes, what do the Raiders do? If the Raiders take Haskins, then there's a very good chance. One of those elite defensive linemen is going to fall to Jacksonville.
Oh, well, at least one would have to be there. If the Raiders take Dwayne Haskins at four, that means Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams,
Well, I'm not putting
Josh
Ed Oliver
Allen.
In there. I'm not putting Ed Oliver in there.
Okay.
I'm talking about the locks. One of those locks that we talked about, the three locks, there's a good chance one of them could fall to them.
Yeah, and Dwayne Haskins, the rumor is, again, believe what you will this time of year, that Dwayne Haskins has apparently gone up on the board of the Oakland Raiders. They like him more now than maybe they did a month or two ago. But Kyler Murray, number one to Arizona, appears to be overwhelmingly what people think. There are a couple of outliers. You mentioned Pete Prisco. And even Pete admitted, I believe in a tweet that he put out, perhaps he's just old and stubborn, but he still goes back to the 5'10" thing. We sat here for weeks talking about Kyler Murray's height. Then he gets measured at the combine. He's 5'10 and 1/8" or whatever it was. And then Leon, it no longer became a story. Is Kyler Murray's height still a story for you in a negative way, in your opinion, or has that gone away now?
No, it's gone away because this is a quarterback-driven league. Now, maybe 10, 15 years ago where they don't take care of quarterbacks as well as they do now. And plus, the kid knows how not to get hit. He's scrambling ability, his ability to get down, and the fact that there's no longer head-hunting or piling on quarterbacks,
right, but you know,
which might protect him a little bit better than he would maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
Getting away from the Kansas Jayhawks is one thing.
Yeah.
Getting away from the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks, I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
I totally agree. I totally agree. It's the window closes from college to the pros as far as getting away. Not only safety DBs and linebackers. I'm talking about defense ends and defensive tackles. I mean, the closing speed of them getting around the corner, getting after you is different as well. All I'm saying is that he's in a league where the quarterback is going to be protected. And plus, you got to look at the kid's productivity while he was at Oklahoma. He's been winning for a very long time. He's been playing at 5'8", like Matt has said, for a very long time. So he
all his life. He's been the smallest guy in the field.
So, I mean, but you can't put too much on his height when you actually see this kid play. The kid has an arm. He's lethal. He throws the ball with tremendous accuracy. He goes through his progressions. I mean, now that's going to have to speed up once he gets to the next level because his progressions are going to have to go a lot quicker because, you know, they're going to be coming at different angles. But as far as his ability to throw the ball and his accuracy at Oklahoma has been outstanding.
Now, if you draft Kyler Murray, do you need to trade Josh Rosen before that? Because once, and Matt, you brought it up, draft Kyler Murray, your value for Josh Rosen goes dramatically down.
Goes to nothing. I mean, you'll be lucky to get a third-round pick for him. So if they are truly picking Murray, I mean, I would be shocked if we don't hear in the next 2, 3, 4 hours that Rosen's been traded. If you don't hear it, like if the clock starts ticking towards 7 and we don't hear that Rosen's been traded yet, Prisco might be right.
If Josh Rosen was in this draft with Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins, he's only a year older than these guys. He was drafted last year. If Rosen's in there with Haskins and Murray and Locke and Daniel Jones and all these guys, how would Rosen match up compared to this year's crop?
Me, the way I think, your opinion. I would take Rosen over everybody in this draft.
You would take Rosen over Kyler
Murray?
Over
all the quarterbacks, yeah.
So then do you think Arizona's making a mistake if they draft Kyler Murray?
I think Arizona should stick with Rosen and put pieces around him to help him because I think he's going to be a terrific pro. I think Kyler Murray's going to be a great player too. I actually do. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be a lot like Baker Mayfield where you're going to go, wow, he really is good. He really can throw the ball. So, I mean, Rosen is the kind of guy, like if you are a strict NFL guy and 95% of the NFL personnel guys are strict NFL, go-by-the-book guys, he's your quarterback. He's everything you want. He fits the size, the weight, the arm strength. You know, you can talk about his accuracy, but again, the garbage he had around him on that offense last year, other than Fitzgerald, I mean, you put pieces around him and watch him grow and develop. So, yeah. Me, I would take Rosen. I would think personnel people would probably have maybe he and Haskins tight, one or the other, and probably still have Murray as number one overall.
Here's the Jaguar question when talking about the quarterbacks. The Jaguars are Dwayne Haskins' friend tonight, or Dwayne Haskins is the Jaguars' friend tonight. Because what you want to have happen, if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, is you want either the Cincinnati Bengals, the Miami Dolphins, the Washington Redskins, whomever, to feel they have to get in front of New York to take Haskins. Because if somebody trades up to take Dwayne Haskins, that means one of those really good defensive guys is going to fall, and Jacksonville will have more options at number 7. Leon, do you believe that somebody is going to trade into the top 5 to take Dwayne Haskins?
It could happen. It could happen. As I look at this, it could happen with the Giants. I mean, it could happen with the Giants. And I'm looking at the teams that are outside of the top 10, like you had just mentioned. I mean, the Bengals, the Dolphins, yeah, all those guys are in play as far as moving up.
The rumor is Washington, at least what they're letting out there, feels they have to get in front of New York to take Haskins.
Yeah.
And if they have to get in front of New York to take Haskins, how much will it cost them to trade from 15, where they are now, into the top 5? They're going to have to mortgage a lot of their future to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. You know, what we're not really talking about, to be quite honest with you, everybody has the Bucks getting Devin White. What if the Bucks take a Quinn Williams? Because, you know, they're with McCoy. You know, they might have issues with McCoy.
And well, they drafted Vea last year.
And let's say Devin White falls into the Jaguars' lap. Do we take him? He's not one of those lock guys?
I'm telling you right now, man, I said this yesterday. He's going to play in the NFL for 12 years. He's going to be a stud middle linebacker. But, again, is that really a position of need for you? That certainly would allow you to let Miles Jack play his more natural position. Certainly would allow you to move Telvin Smith and get more picks.
You draft Devin White, you're trading Telvin Smith.
You are. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that's happening. But to me, I think what's more intriguing, like if you're the Skins, you were talking about the Skins, I don't think they have to get in front of the Giants. I think if I'm the Skins right now, I'm thinking I might have to get in front of the Raiders because the Raiders might want him. So I might be trading actually with the Jets.
And if you're the Jets, I just wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go from 3 to 15. You couldn't give me enough. I mean, if the Jets want a Quinnen Williams or an Ed Oliver or whomever, you obviously sacrifice that.
But their roster is limited. If their roster is limited and they can get more picks, and we know Danny Snyder, you know, who knows what he's liable to give up. If you get an offer too good to refuse and you're getting multiple picks where you can build up a roster that's kind of devoid of talent right now, I mean, that's definitely something to think about. To me, that's the intriguing thing. If the Skins or the Broncos or whoever thinks, wait, we got to get ahead of the Raiders. It's not the Giants.
And again, take it for what it's worth. But Schefter, a lot of guys on ESPN this morning were throwing out teams potentially looking to trade up. He threw out Washington. He threw out Cincinnati. The Houston Texans have been long rumored to try to get in the top 10 because they want one of those tackles. They don't think Taylor, Dillard, or Jonah Williams are going to last to where they're picking, so they're going to try to move up as well. I do believe that we're going to see some trades. I don't know how many. I think there'll be a lot of phone calls that are going to be made. I don't know how many actual trades, pen to paper, we're going to see. That's what's fascinating about tonight. That might be one of the greatest thing during the draft. Every single year, one team is on the clock, and all of a sudden on the bottom ticker, we have a trade. And then everybody goes nuts. What's going on? Twitter goes ablaze. I truly hope we see that tonight, and if we see that in the top five, the top six, that will help Jacksonville because that will mean teams are moving in front of the Giants, probably for Haskins, which means some defensive guys are beginning to fall as we welcome Joe Coward in.
Let's not forget this real quick and before we bring Joe in. Gruden coached Drew Lock in the Senior Bowl, and there were rumors then that he really liked what he saw out of Drew Lock, not just the way he threw the ball, but his attitude, his makeup.
You can't take
him
before.
I know you can't. His attitude and his makeup, okay, and the way and the way he handled the pocket, the way he handled the huddle. So we're all talking about Haskins. That might not be the quarterback the Raiders are going after.
Well, but the problem is if you're at four, it's going to have to be Haskins, you would think. Would it shock me if Drew Lock went to the Raiders? No, because it's the Raiders, and they do whatever they want. But if Drew Lock goes to the Raiders at four, there's going to be a lot of head-scratching going on NFL Network, on ABC, and on ESPN tonight. Joe Cowher with us. Joe,
yo.
It's draft day.
Joe.
Finishing up some PGA Tour duties. It's a great day, man. Obviously, a lot to get into, including the Jaguars with that seventh pick tonight. A lot of rumors going on. Could teams be trying to trade into the top five to maybe get Kyler Murray and or Dwayne Haskins?
It's so fascinating. It's so fun. We've been talking about it forever. You know, now get us to the end where we can figure out exactly what's going to go down. I'm with Leon as I'm listening to you guys come in. Give me chaos. I'll take chaos all night long tonight. I think more and more over the last couple of years, we've had more of an NBA feel. And, Hacker, you watch the NBA draft. JJ does as well, I'm sure. And
big fan of the Mo Bamba pick last year. Really did a lot for us.
There's just craziness. You know, there's craziness that goes on. So the NFL, forever, they couldn't even think about the possibility of wheeling and dealing and moving players and all that. Now they're thinking about that stuff a little bit more. If John Gruden and the Raiders were to take somebody that plays quarterback position, not named Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins with that fourth pick, it will solidify in my mind that two idiot machines have now merged together to become an even bigger idiot in the Raiders. That's Al Davis looking up from above going, do it. Do it.
Well,
because John Gruden is maniacal when it comes to quarterbacks.
Is Al Davis looking up or down?
Actually, I don't
know.
That's
a good question.
He's looking down, but Joe set up.
The Drew Lock thing is one. I'll tell you another thing, Leon. A lot of criticism this time of year on kids, and I get it. It comes with the territory. Boy, Daniel Jones of Duke. Now, we were at the Senior Bowl. We saw Daniel Jones. He didn't look very good at the Senior Bowl, quite frankly. But I'm watching the national networks last night, this morning. Daniel Jones getting raked over the coals a little bit. Some guys on ESPN are saying they can't believe that he's even being considered in round one. I believe it was Marcus Spears just saying, what is this guy even doing being here in the green room? Why is he here? He's not a good quarterback. I think he ranked him as the fifth or sixth quarterback in this draft class. I believe Dan Orlovsky, Matt, a guy that we know very well.
No, Orlovsky loves him.
Orlovsky loves him, right. But Orlovsky was going back and forth with Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears.
Right, okay.
About Daniel Jones. Orlovsky was defending him. Spears and Ryan Clark were just kind of going in on him. I'm watching NFL Network. They had some negative things to say about Daniel Jones as well. And I just felt bad for the young man. I mean, certainly he's watching this too, and it's like he's just getting raked over the coals.
I've got an easy
morning.
Answer for that. That's SEC hatred towards the ACC, is it not?
Sounds like it to me.
Yeah, that's an LSU guy, a couple of LSU guys just going in on the Duke. They're going, how can a guy come out of Duke and be a quality quarterback?
Well, the only thing you say about Daniel Jones is he's coached by David Cutcliffe, right? How many times have we said that?
But he's fluctuated,
and David Cutcliffe
too.
Had Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones went from being a guy everybody thought, oh, he could be the first quarterback picked way down after the Senior Bowl. Yeah. Then he went back up to be a top 12 guy, and now in the last day or two, he's back down again.
Mm-hmm. Well, he could go to the Redskins, he could go to the Giants when they come back with their second pick in the first round. I think a lot of people have mocked those types of possibilities. I can't imagine the Giants jumping on Daniel Jones with that first pick that they have in the first round, but you never know. I told you guys yesterday, they're like hot blondes. Quarterbacks make you do dumb things.
Can I just play something?
They'll make you crazy.
We're talking about Daniel Jones, and Hack was mentioning that some people were selling his name.
If they draft the quarterback from Duke, I may walk into oncoming traffic.
People will flip out.
Yes. I will be one of them. Granted, that was a couple of months ago. that was a Jaguar-related topic.
Yes, this is pre-Nick Foles.
That was a Jaguar-related topic. Yeah, I did not want the Jaguars to take Daniel Jones.
Apparently, you weren't feeling sorry for him then.
No. Keep in mind, I didn't sour his name like Marcus Spears was this morning.
But
you didn't sour his name. You said you walk in front of a moving traffic.
Leon's got it. That's exactly what Spears and Clark were doing.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for you. JJ just completely blew me up, man.
That's not
confirmed
it.
You've confirmed it.
I think it's what we're all talking about. I think it's 5'10", and it's a guy that it's just not your typical.
No, this is Daniel Jones when you sit there.
We're talking about Kyle, they were blowing up Kyler Murray. Yeah. I think it's just he doesn't fit the mold. He just doesn't fit the mold, and I think that has the 95% of the NFL people who all they care about is 6'4", 240 pounds. They're all scratching their head. They don't know why. Even though a year earlier, Baker Mayfield, who's an inch taller than this cat, goes in and just absolutely destroys the league in his first year. Mm-hmm. How do you not see that and say, this can happen in the league?
Yeah, well, it definitely can happen. I'm a bet against guy.
Last time I checked, a 5'10" quarterback just got $140 million.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Russ is 5'11". I'm going to give him a little bit more.
Nah, he's 5'10" and 3'8" or something, I think.
5'11". Those guys are not 5'10".
I'm the king of this, all right? I do it all the time, so I can relate to what you guys are doing. If you look hard enough, there's always an example to meet your argument, right? You're fans of Kyler Murray, so you're going to throw out Russell Wilson.
There you go.
That's your guy. Russell Wilson can do it. Well, so can Kyler Murray. If I were to think about it, I can give you 10 guys that were 5'10", 5'11", that didn't work. Right. You always find the guy that worked when it suits your argument.
Because I'm an optimist.
Oh, I agree. We all do it. We all do it. But for all the Russell Wilsons, there are 10 quarterbacks under 6 feet that are selling insurance right now. You know, because it just didn't work out for us.
Is Drew Brees selling this?
Well, again,
as another guy, I'm giving you guys.
That's two.
But for 98% of those guys, they don't have the arm strength that Kyler Murray has. They don't have the athletic ability that Kyler Murray has.
I'm not saying anything about arm strength.
They don't have the accuracy that Kyler Murray has.
That's all great. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm saying about 5'10".
Yeah, and I've just said rare is rare. There's only so few of those guys that are going to come through and make it.
But what we're discussing is breaking the mold. Hack, you know, the model for quarterbacks in the NFL 15, 20, 30 years ago was that you had to be 6'4". And you had to be 230, 240.
Yep.
What now, all these other quarterbacks that have come along have broken them up. Even myself. The prototype offensive lineman, tackle, when I was coming out was 6'6", 340.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was 6'3 and a half, 305.
And they put a book on you.
And so they wanted to lock me in. Hey, this guy.
He's a guard.
I heard all the experts say, well, you know, seriously, he can't go in the first round because he's got a guard mode. He doesn't have a tackle mode. He's not the prototype tackle. I heard it all. But I'm just saying that there comes a time where there are guys who just break the mold. And you need to get out of these stereotypes that this guy has to fit this certain model for him to have success at the next level. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I really do believe it. The game's changing. It's a moving pocket. The rules are better for the quarterback right now. They're not getting clobbered. They're not having to absorb as many hits. And so a guy that is a little more diminutive, a little smaller, might be able to make it. But there are just so few of those that have been able to prove over time that they can get it done. And if it is back-to-back years with a Lincoln Riley-coached quarterback that goes number one and then turns the NFL on its ear, and Baker Mayfield for the time that he was starting, I'm not going to say he turned the NFL on its ear, but he was pretty dang exciting.
You got the NFL's attention.
It's coming.
Yeah. And so
– yeah, I mean, Cleveland – everybody's talking about Cleveland winning the division and that Cleveland's going to be the hot team next year.
But Baker measured at 6'5", 6'5", at the combine, so that's still – that's two and a half inches.
Two and a half.
But listen, I've always asked for a couple more inches in height all my life. So
I've faked a couple too.
Yeah. I have. But that's big. That's
I've been
big.
Fine with what I was given.
Yeah. But and then Russell Wilson, I want to say he was in that like close to 5'11" neighborhood. So he probably is as good of a comparable to Kyler Murray as is out there, and then Drew Brees. But the gap in time between when Drew Brees came in the league in the early 2000s and now, it's been.
But also, to be fair, the big knock on Baker last year was his height, right?
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely was. That's what everyone was saying. And then the comparison was, well, look at Drew Brees. He's like Drew Brees. No, he's not like Drew Brees. Drew Brees is, he's unique. But the reality is there are guys that come along that can do things that others can't. Like you said, unique is unique. It's simple as that.
Yeah. All right, so you guys have been batting it around, talking draft.
I'll tell you what I love about days like this, too. Twitter, Darren Revell tweeted this out earlier.
Yeah.
8 years ago today, Sports Illustrated's main article, did you see this? On the cover, it was Jake Locker, it was Blaine Gabbert, and it was Cam Newton. And it said, biggest decision on the planet, what would you do with a big question mark?
Yeah, how'd that work out?
That was so funny to me, man.
Yeah, two out of three, how'd that work out?
Well, they made the right decision, the Panthers did.
Yeah, but Cam Newton was a guy that was going at the top.
Yeah.
Okay, and then after that, in Jacksonville, that was the same year, correct?
It was 2000, 2011.
So Jacksonville has had the misfortune of drafting a quarterback in the top 10 the same year that the best quarterback went number one, Carson Palmer, and then they went Byron Leftwich after that, seventh pick overall. And in that case, Cam Newton, look how good he's been for as long as he's been in the league.
Jacksonville had bad luck in that regard. Now, they got the seventh pick tonight.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Obviously, no quarterback. If they take a quarterback, I will walk in oncoming traffic, regardless of the quarterback.
You can't
if they
keep
go
saying
with seven
that,
tonight.
There's too many people on the text line are saying, do it, man, do it. They want you to do it into the 1 o'clock hour. It's XL primetime.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
1 o'clock hour, rocking and rolling, all back in the building. We had a good time last night at the golf club at Southampton. With a great bunch of people. Zaxby's showing up with some delicious food, so we had a good time last night. And then I did the tour this morning. They were expecting bad weather coming into New Orleans, and it did. It did, but we started early, got a couple hours of good golf in, and then came the rains. So tonight's going to be great. I think the weather's going to be okay. We're talking about bad weather maybe tomorrow, but tonight's going to be great down at the stadium. Broadcast for the Frangie Show begins at 3 o'clock, 3 to 7. You'll have the crew, and then after that you'll have Frangie, Vaselli, Lagerman, as they will go 7 o'clock till 10 o'clock tonight with that broadcast. Go to Jaguars.com and make sure that you got your pass to go down there to TIA Bank Field tonight for the celebration. There are a lot of people wearing Jaguar gear today, ready to see this thing go down.
Oh, well, look, I shouldn't say that. For the better part of the last decade, this draft process has been a six-month ordeal for us here in Jacksonville. Now, we were saved from that in 2017 because last year, the draft, we didn't really care about the combine or, pro days because we thought we were going to be really good coming off an AFC title game. But for the most part, Leon, from 2010 to 2016, and then again in 2018, the Jaguars have basically been eliminated by Halloween. So the draft process doesn't start for us on New Year's. It starts for us on Halloween. So for 6 months now, unlike the Patriots, who their fans probably don't even care about tonight, for 6 months it's been, can we get a quarterback? Can we get a quarterback? Well, they got a quarterback in free agency. Then we moved on to running back or tight end, wide receiver, O-line, D-line. We've been dissecting this every which way, and now here we are, just mere hours away from getting some of those questions answered. As important as tonight is, and tonight's very important, I think tomorrow night might be as important, if not more. If they stay where they are and have all their picks, you got one pick tonight, you got three picks tomorrow. So hopefully the Jaguars will add four contributing players to their team over the next 36 hours or so.
I agree. Unfortunately, what you had just mentioned about the Jaguars picking in the top 10 over the last few years is a trend that needs to be stopped.
Exactly.
That when our season is over in Halloween, that's something that this organization has got to get rid of. And I thought they did. When the Jaguars made it to the AFC title game, I thought that there was going to be more consistency of playoffs and wins or whatever. We all know what happened last year, 5-11, all that. So we're right back in that same position where we're picking top 10. Now, the track record is what concerns me. That's what scares me. The top 10 picks with the Jaguars, outside of what Ramsey, he's been the prudent pick over the last decade or so because, you know, Fournette's he's up in the air, whatever. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting. This is a very important draft for the Jaguars moving forward because if this franchise is going to turn the table, here's the thing. Is this team more of 2017 or more of 2018?
And that's a tough question to answer.
It's because, you know, I would hope that 2018 was just a fluke. A mirage. We're on the desert somewhere thirsty or whatever, and it was a mirage. I'm hoping that. So what they do tonight as far as the pick is very important to this franchise moving forward because the draft picks that you pick is going to help determine what kind of teams you're going to have moving forward. Right. These guys that they pick in the first round, second round, third round have to be impactful guys. They cannot miss on any of these picks. So it's going to be very important to see what the Jaguars do tonight. And I'm looking forward to it.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC.
So according to Ian Rappaport at the NFL Network, the teams now believe that Montez Sweat's heart condition was misdiagnosed at the combine. Additional tests reportedly indicate no risk.
Oh, wow.
That's Leon's guy right there.
Now, look who's back in play.
I will say this, too. Leon was talking about how you know the big picks have been so bad for the Jaguars. So I wanted us to actually look at it this way. Let's look at this draft, this first pick, this way. What could the Jaguars do when you would be like sitting on your couch thinking, and you can reach us on the text line about this as well. What in the world did they just do? That's the question now. Because because you're almost jaded now at this point with what has happened with these picks. So the question then becomes, what could they do that would make you say, my God, they blew it again?
Well, two things. No, I got one of that right there, but the Montez Sweat thing, that's a lawsuit. He's going to sue somebody.
He might.
You can't be misdiagnosed with a heart condition.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He's going to sue somebody for $1 billion. Yeah, he's probably going to win.
Well, yeah, because you can prove. That's tangible dollars you can prove.
Absolutely it is. So.
And those doctors that diagnose it are all NFL doctors.
Yeah. Not only is he on the phone with his agent, he's on the phone with a lawyer right now.
But if he does go in the top 10, then that might have been where he originally was going to go. And
maybe.
So we'll see.
Maybe. But to me, Matt, like I said earlier – you cannot draft a quarterback if you're Jacksonville. You just can't.
Well, it's just too much money in one pot.
Right. You just gave $88 million, could be worth $102 million to Foles over 4 years. I don't care if Haskins is there. I don't care really if Kyler Murray's there.
I've always
can't do it.
I know. I've always maintained that that is the most expensive piece of pie in the NFL, that you can sell that more than anything else. And so if you're looking at a player that's available at that position, the most valuable thing you can get is the quarterback. But the money that we've repeated a bunch, it just prohibits you from doing it. You cannot do it. Leon's talking about was last year a mirage. Getting this team back to a competitive base where they're expected to win instead of expected to lose, you can't just go saying, hey, let's go get another good quarterback. No, you better get good players as a team.
The only other one besides quarterback would be wide receiver at 7. Now, I don't even think DK Metcalf or Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma is in the conversation at number 7. But if the Jaguars were to do that, that would make little sense to me, too. Mm-hmm. Really, other than that, other than wide receiver and quarterback, I could live with just about anything else.
Yeah, all right, so JJ.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. JJ, throw it out right now, the Twitter poll question.
Yes, question of the day brought to you by Beaver Toyota. It's officially decision day. Who do you want? TJ Hockenson, Juwan Taylor, Jonah Williams, or just defensive player? Which I would be an Ed Oliver guy, but just defensive player.
Yeah, because at least the possibilities of maybe one of those guys falling, we don't know who it might be. It could be Montez Sweat that is now back in the conversation. But just vote on it. The defensive player or one of those suggestions, two linemen or the tight end.
Who has the early lead, by the way? Teej.
Yeah, TJ Hockenson, right?
68%.
Well, and Matt, let me ask you. You sounded surprised there. What other position, other than quarterback and wide receiver, would you be not happy with if they went at number seven?
It's not that not happy. I think it's more along the lines of, okay, you've got to get a guy that's going to hit. There can't be any questions about whether he's going to hit or not. So if they take Ed Oliver, you're all right with that?
I think Ed Oliver's an athletic freak. Does he have his head on straight? That'd be my biggest concern. That was my con earlier. I don't know if I want to bring another guy that potentially could be an issue in that locker room. But if they go to the podium tonight and they draft Ed Oliver, I'd certainly be happier with that than I would be Dwayne Haskins or a wide receiver. So, yeah.
What about Christian Wilkins?
Christian Wilkins, the guy that Joe, I think you mm-hmm. like.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to replace a Marcell Dareus, but I'm also looking at two big men in the middle, and they could potentially do that. I think this team defensively could line up with those types of rotations, and it's not like you're kissing goodbye your three technique, but it's possible that you could have some combination. And so Christian Wilkins would be hard for me to pass up. He really would be. And I always want to say this. You look for now, and you look to the future when you make these decisions.
How about Rashawn Gary?
I'm lukewarm on this guy now.
I don't like Gary. Yeah, the labrum tear potentially, and Gary's also one of those guys. And I'll be honest, I didn't watch a ton of Michigan Wolverine football, but I did watch enough to know that he did some nice things. But he's not to me Ed Oliver. He's not Quinnen Williams, and he's not Josh Allen.
Just not the same level of productivity when we first heard about this cat, that he was the number one recruit in the nation. And it's funny, though, you could turn right around and say, hey, we saw a lot of highlights from Jabril Peppers. He was a highlight machine. Did he turn out? At least he hadn't so far.
He's already
in the NFL.
Been dealt.
So there's no way to know.
Let's say they deal Telvin and Devin White's pick. You're good with that.
I do like that idea. I still am looking at the front line as opposed to the linebacker with that first pick if I'm on the defensive side of the ball.
But then that changes. I mean, for everything that's been talked about forever, it suddenly changes instantly then.
Oh, I know.
I think they got more pressing issues at linebacker, but if they trade Telvin, linebacker might become their biggest need at that point.
It does become a real legitimate need, that's for sure. All right, before Leon's out of here, we got to dip back into the college football world.
Yeah, Dan Mullen, earlier this week, I believe at the Daytona Beach Gator Club, had just some interesting things to say, kind of taking a shot at both Florida State and the U, and so that got Leon's attention. So we'll bring that up. We'll let you know exactly what Mullen said and what Leon just chew on that for a moment and give his thoughts.
He has that look right now that's scary. It really is scary. Don't forget, Leon, the rest of us, we will be at Topgolf tomorrow. Corona is one of the sponsors of Leon's event, as the event will take place on Sunday. So we'll be out there with them. Topgolf from noon to 3 for us tomorrow. And then the event benefiting Foster Closet is on Sunday from 4 to 7. So make sure you make plans to be out of Topgolf with us tomorrow or Sunday, either one.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
Leon heading out at 1:30, ready to rock and roll for the draft. And this is a cigar day, Leon, I'm just guessing.
Absolutely.
It has
draft
to be.
Day? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I know probably every day
does
could be.
Does it end in Y?
Yeah, every day could be
cigar day for Leon.
You never need a Y for cigar day.
Yeah,
but
this
never.
Might be a two-cigar day. Yeah, maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. A two-cigar day. Now, another guy that's trying to light up cigars and basically say, hey, this is ours. This is us. No one else is coming in and taking our territory. Dan Mullen's trying to fuel that theory that the state of Florida is the University of Florida. So he's in Daytona Beach.
Yeah, Daytona Beach Gator Club. Dan Mullen had a speaking engagement there earlier this week, and this was the quote he gave. This is according to Zach Dean of Gatorsports.com.
I love it.
Quote from Dan Mullen, we have 8 home games this year. We're the University of Florida. If we play in the state, it's a home game. Last year, we had a home game in Tallahassee. This year, we have one in Orlando. Of course, last year, Florida crushed Florida State. And this year, Florida opens in Orlando against Miami. Leon, your response.
My response is I need Dan Mullen to be an original. I've seen this dog and pony show in the middle of the 90s. I mean, he's in his hot tub time machine right now, going back to the mid-90s, trying to, you know, boost up the Florida game. This is the same thing Spurrier did back in the day. The only thing about Spurrier, he had success. I mean, Mullins is basing he's being formidable based on 1 year. I mean, at least Spurrier has a championship. I've heard that. This is the playbook of Steve Spurrier. He did the same thing when he came to Florida. He wanted to re-energize He's stirring the pot. Exactly. Just stirring the pot, especially in the state of Florida, because it was so. This is stirring the pot for recruits. This is stirring the pot for the alumni base, all this kind of stuff. So what do? You attack the two teams in the state of Florida and just say, hey, that's our home team. That's our, wherever we go,
now
that's
look,
where we
and
play.
You're exactly right, but how many seats does the Citrus Bowl have? Camping World Stadium. We'll say 70, 75,000?
Maybe.
We'll say 70. Nice even number. There will be 55,000 Gator fans in that
so
stadium.
So what?
It will be a Gator home game.
All right, good. Good.
I'm just saying, it will be.
Good.
You know what I love? He never gets upset about NFL stuff.
No, he doesn't, because if he ever does, I'm scared to death of it.
But when the college stuff comes, then he gets upset.
He does get fired up.
I'll tell you this. Mullen did this at Mississippi State, too. He had them get signboards and put them up billboards all over the state that said, our state. Hail State, our state. So he did the same thing in Mississippi. Yeah. He's doing it now for the same reason.
I do think it's
the exact same reason. Yeah. And one more thing, it's not going to prevent you from getting that 28-point loss in your head.
I don't see it. I mean, this is all the chitter-chatter I've heard is that Miami's just going to get spanked. They're going to lose by 20, 30. 40. Listen, first of all, if you expect a University of Miami Hall of Famer to say Miami's going to lose, that's out of the question, first and foremost. All right, so you can forget that. I think we're going to be competitive. I think we're going to win. That's in my mind.
Oh.
You know, I'm just stirring the pot
surprised?
With you, right?
Are you surprised that I said we were
No, I'm just trying. I'm trying to conjure up a nice wager with you.
Whatever you want.
I see cigars in our future.
Cigars, yes.
I see libations in our future.
Absolutely.
Maybe a night out on the town and the loser has to pay the tab.
No one will bet less on a sure thing than Hacker over there, okay? He will wager all of $10 on a sure thing.
And by the way, we have 4 months to discuss it. Would I be shocked? If Miami beat Florida, no, of course not. But the problem you have, Leon, is you have no idea who your quarterback's going to be. And that's not
question.
A good place to
be
right
now.
I mean, right
like now. Your quarterback's Elway.
No. But, well, no, our quarterback is Elway based on what you guys have right now.
I don't know that.
I do.
I mean, he threw a bunch of yards in the spring game where everything was catered towards
he
him.
He beat the dog droppings out of Michigan in the in
that's
the Peach
saying
Bowl.
A lot.
Okay, well, he put 4 touchdowns on Florida State. I'm not even a Felipe Franks guy, mind you.
Right.
He did play well against Florida State.
I can't
State
wait.
And
see,
Michigan.
This is you know what this is? This really is right here. This last couple of minutes tells you what stoking the fire can do in the state.
Yeah,
and that's what
did.
Dan Mullen's. All right, so he goes, here's his quote. People come to Florida to be the absolute best. Getting that standard back is special, and I love that everyone has the confidence to do that. So this is where we all dream of it being again one day. Is when Miami had 5 natties, when Florida State was coming up and winning theirs, and then, of course, Florida winning theirs and then coming back with 2 more later. If it can all come together again and get Coral Gables involved, that will be huge.
Well, listen, college football is better, in my opinion, when Florida State, Florida, and Miami are back on top. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got a long road to travel. Florida seems to be on the right steps with Mullen.
And just barely got back there.
And
so
then, to see what Willie Taggart does this year as far as moving Florida State. I want all 3 schools to succeed because it's going to be better. It's going to be better for recruiting. It's going to be better for national recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. I love it.
Yeah, we have a plan.
I love it.
Sure you do, Willie.
I love the fact that it gets your dander up, man.
Oh,
anytime I'm talking about the Canes, man, you get up.
Oh, of course. You know that. Yeah, listen, I bleed on your green, baby.
And Hack wants to talk about the attendance. The only people that so far have their tickets for the game are Miami fans. Me, out of this show.
I have mine.
2. Boom.
Well, for starters, I have obligations to the station normally on college Saturdays.
Oh, I
Secondly,
see how it is.
If I can get out of that, I will be in Orlando because I know many people that have tickets already. And I'd like to go down there and party with Leon on Church Street before the game.
What? Well, you know, I'm hosting a party at Mango's, and you may be the only Gator I give a pass.
Well, there you go. That'd be a lot of fun. Something tells me I shouldn't run my mouth if I go there.
Yeah, I'm guessing
I would be vastly
outnumbered.
Something
tells me you will once they win.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you shouldn't and won't.
Want to bring up one more thing. This is a much more negative college note, but I know Matt's got some strong feelings about it. Leon does as well before you get out of here. The NCAA is a bunch of interesting human beings when it comes to transfers.
Idiots.
Now, we all saw that Justin Fields, immediate eligibility from Georgia to Ohio State. Tate Martell, immediate eligibility from Ohio State to Miami. Matt, Brock Hoffman's a young man from Coastal Carolina that wants to transfer to Virginia Tech to be closer to his ailing mother. You also have a young man, Luke Ford, transferring from Georgia to Illinois. He wants to be closer to his grandfather. His grandfather's up there in age, can't travel, and he wants his granddad to be able to see him play. The NCAA granted eligibility to Fields and Martell. To this point, now the Coastal Carolina thing is a little fuzzy. We'll let Matt explain. But to this point, the two young men with family issues, Luke Ford, Georgia to Illinois, and Brock Hoffman, Coastal Carolina to Virginia Tech, got their transfers denied and cannot get immediate eligibility. Right. What is the NCAA doing?
Well, Hoffman, initially it was denied, and then the social media uproar was just ridiculous. Everybody was just crushing the NCAA, which they should. And the NCAA came out and said, oh, he signed the wrong waiver form. He filled out the wrong waiver.
That's called CYA.
Which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
They were covering their rear.
And as far as Ford, he's going to get – it'll work for him, too. They'll let him go.
But why the bad pub? Why take the black eye if you're the NCAA?
Because it's what they do,
man.
Yeah,
they're dumb enough already to know that if they do this, that's what's coming.
I'm going to tell you why. You ready? There's a hardcore nucleus within that organization in Indianapolis that is just steadfast, head in the ground, heels dug in, that the amateur model is you're not getting anything from us. You're going to do what we tell you to do because that's how it's always been. Yeah, it's the most absolutely ridiculous, inane thing I've ever heard of. But there, and I'm talking about like people that make decisions up there.
Yeah, powerful.
Yes.
Decision
yes,
makers.
That are hardcore amateur model people.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that's not it anymore. We're not going to go to full free agency. I hear everybody talking about how it's full-blown free agency, but there will be a point where the NCAA will make a decision and say, look, and I truly believe this is what's going to happen. We're going to give you one free unfettered transfer no matter where you want to go during your career. No questions asked. The other ones, you're either going to have to sit out or you're going to have an appeal reason why, mm-hmm. a legitimate reason why.
Mm-hmm. And then that's like Walmart. You can bring something back even though it's maybe 3 years later.
Right,
just go, whatever. No questions asked.
No questions asked.
And so in this case, and I do think that that's not a bad model to look at and see if it's possible or not, but the NCAA, anytime you give them what you think is sensible, what you think is the best case for everybody, would affect everybody in a positive way instead of a negative, they never can see the light on that. And I'll never quite understand it because I do think they're afraid of certain backlash when it comes to, say, the Justin Fields accusation that was made or any of those other things. And then when it comes to, hey, pulling at the heartstrings, they have no they're clueless,
Leon,
and heartless too.
Yeah, Leon, I mean, explain to me how the NCAA can say, yeah, Tate Martell, you can go from Columbus, Ohio to Miami, Florida, no questions asked. Yeah, Justin Fields, Athens to Columbus, absolutely, no question. But when a young man wants to be closer to his ill mother, they deny him originally until they get so much negative backlash that they have to say, oh, he filled out the wrong paperwork, he's going to get approved. Why would you put yourself through that?
Because they're idiots. Listen, I'm going to smoke a big stogie when the NCAA is disbanded.
Wow.
I am. I really am. They've been getting over for far too long. They've been exposed for what they really are. And these players, these athletes, have been taken advantage of for decades upon decades upon decades. And it's come to the point right now. I mean, this thing right here, the only time they wanted to respond is when they got backlash.
Right.
I mean, they could have easily looked at this. You could have looked at what was at stake, and you could have made a decision, and you could have moved forward. But no, they had to be regulations and rules and this and that. And then they only covered their behind by saying that he filled out the wrong application.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
It's the classic they're reactive instead of proactive.
Exactly.
And they panic whenever they get hit hard PR-wise. And today's social media can move the meter. We've seen it. We've seen it 1,000 different mm-hmm. ways. It can keep a coach from being hired. It can keep a coach from getting fired have a coach fired. And in this case, have the NCAA look embarrassingly bad and heartless. And so now they can turn around and do it. Now, they've granted more waivers than they have in years past. But at the same time, it's nonsensical when they do stuff like
that. All right, Leon, we'll see you tomorrow at Top Golf, man. Do that event. Before we promote it one last time, last voice you'll have, number 7 tonight for the Jaguars. Who do you want the Jacksonville Jaguars to select?
It's not who I want. It's who I think the Jaguars are going to pick.
Give us both. Yeah,
okay,
us
who both. I want? I want a tackle. I'll take Andre Dillard.
Yeah, you like Dillard.
I like Dillard. Who I think they're going to get Josh Allen.
Ooh, well, you think Josh Allen falls?
I think Josh Allen is going to fall to the Jaguars.
Wow.
And take.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
You heard it here first.
Look at Big Surf right out of the gate.
Now,
man.
Top Ooh. Golf Leon tomorrow. I know the events on Sunday kind of set the scene, what we can expect tomorrow, and talk about Sunday's event.
Okay, well, we're going to be at Top Golf tomorrow from 12 to 3. You know, that's where we're going to have our celebrity Jaguars Legends golf tournament at Top Golf that Sunday from 4 to 7. It's going to be a celebration of the 25th anniversary of Jacksonville Jaguar football. We've already got 22 to 23 guys already lined up to show up. We've got sponsors. We've got over 19 bays. We've sold 95% of the tickets.
Good.
So we're going to have a lounge area where we got DJ Q Digital, who's going to be doing the DJing, and then food and drinks, and we'll have a great time. We're going to tell a lot of stories and lie about how good we were.
It's for a great cause.
That's
great. And
then
we're going to, and the cause is for, and mass majority of the proceeds are going to Foster Closet.
Yeah, fostercloset.org. You can check it out there. You can go through 1010XL.com and get a link to it and get involved if you want to. We've got a lot of charitable things that we do on this radio station. It's good to see people stepping up and doing stuff. I might have come up with a little segment, though, right there before. You heard it here first with Big Sirs. When he makes those proclamations,
yeah,
we
I
might
like
have. We,
that
write
like
that one down, JJ.
Sponsorship opportunity.
Yeah, write that one down. All right.
I like
keep it going with
See you tomorrow, baby.
All right, fella.
All right, Leon.
Keep it going with what we're thinking with the draft. You can let us know. It's your time. You can tweet at us. You can hit the text line driven by Duval Ford. But what are you going to do if you're making that pick at number 7?
There is no risk for Montez Sweat under this diagnosis. This team that told me does not have him medically off their board, and they have no issue with it at all. This discrepancy would explain why some teams are absolutely fine with it.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
The medicals from the combine on Montez Sweat, not correct, and that could mean a return to the top 10 for the big edge rusher from Mississippi State. Montez and a lot of draft mocks that are out there have been dropping because of the medical concern, and there was multiple reports about that. So that's interesting from Adam Schefter right there. It's XL Primetime. Joe C., Ryan the Hacker Green, Matty Hayes, Leon Searcy out the door. Thanks to Zaxby's, one of our sponsors today. Make sure you check them out on University Boulevard east of I-95 in the Bartram Park area off Old St. Augustine Road and the St. John's Town Center right next to Daly's. They were out with us last night at the Golf Club of Southampton and set up a great meal. So totally appreciate Zaxby's. It's coming down to the second half of the day. I'm sure people have marked off, and they're already starting to go down to the stadium, TIA, Bank Field. They're starting to set up. They're tailgating.
Oh, it's a great
getting
day,
ready.
Man.
And Daly's place, by the way, is a great atmosphere for this that they were able to roll out last year and get everybody fired up for that. You know, that new little element, entertainment area around the stadium, which makes it really cool for tonight.
Now, do a compare and contrast, Matt. Montez Sweat, Josh Allen. If Montez Sweat is 100%, and we know that he dominated Senior Bowl festivities, we were out there, Mississippi State defensive end, where would you put Montez Sweat in the conversation with Josh Allen from Kentucky?
I mean, they're really close. They're very similar players, too. I would say that as far as physical freaks, I would probably put Montez Sweat above him, but Josh Allen's got this lean when he rushes, man. He's very quick off the edge, and he's got this lean to him, and I think he's more technically sound than Montez Sweat is.
I mean, is Josh Allen? Look, I watch Kentucky football. I saw Josh Allen dominate Florida, but I'm assuming a lot of people that are listening did not watch a lot of Kentucky football. Is Josh Allen Bradley Chubb? Is he Mario Williams?
I'm going to put him in the Bradley. I'm going to put him in the Bradley
that people
Chubb.
Can relate to.
I would just that sudden burst. That's what I would put him.
Yeah,
in.
He's not as solid as Bradley Chubb yet. That's another thing too with Josh Allen. He's going to grow in that body, man. He's already 258, 260. After 2 or 3 years in the NFL, he's going to just be a bad man.
And
he's going to be 6'5", like 270, just be a beast.
Well, it depends on who wants to play him in
right.
a certain position.
Right. He might get with a team that runs the 50 defense and he's playing outside linebacker rush end. Right.
Yeah. And
right.
he easily could be part of a 3-4 or 50 whatever and come up with ways to use him, you know, Von Miller-esque
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so that's really body type, I think, going forward is going to have a hell of a lot to do with who selects him. On this front, He probably could play at that weight and be just fine. Of course, you know, your normal growth and maturity, yeah, I mean, probably had 12 pounds.
He's a guy, I'm telling you right now, if he falls to them, like I said earlier, I would sprint to the podium.
And it really wouldn't take that much. Let's assume Kyler Murray goes one, Bosa two, we'll say Quinnen Williams three. Those are your top three.
Right.
If the Raiders take Dwayne Haskins, Tampa Bay then is going to take, we'll say, Devin White. Then it comes down to...
But does Tampa Bay pass on Josh Allen?
Maybe not.
That's a fair point.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, let me tell you.
I know Tampa Bay's got a big need at linebacker, and Devin White's the best linebacker in the draft.
Right.
So if they're drafting for need, you would think Devin White.
Yeah, let's say all things being equal.
Let's say it's all there. Then the Giants, you got Ed Oliver still on the board. You have Josh Allen still on the board. T.J. Hockenson still on the board. I think it's safe to say if the Jaguars want T.J. Hockenson, they're going to get T.J. Hockenson.
Right.
He's not going to be taken in the top six.
No, yeah, I think no matter what, if they want him, they're going to get him.
Right. So it comes down to if Josh Allen, Ed Oliver, Montez Sweat, whatever defensive guy you want to list, if he's there alongside T.J. Hockenson, what direction do the Jaguars go at that point?
Yeah, because I don't think the quarterback conversation moving into the picture with the Raiders, that changes everything for a lot of teams, but it doesn't change that tight end being available for the Jags. Not at all.
What would be interesting is, Joe, the Lions have been rumored on T.J. Hockenson. What if the Lions say, we need to get ahead of Jacksonville?
Yeah.
And if that happens, that would be unfortunate.
Here's what's crazy. This team has so ill-used the tight end position over the last handful of years. They're kind of the poster boys for what not to do to include a tight end in your offense. They're writing a book about that. That's what they have done. But the Detroit Lions are kind of the same team. They drafted Eric Ebron in the first round. This guy went, he had a share of injuries, but basically went through, 4 years in Detroit and had really no mark, no memorable season, game, anything really to speak of. He goes to the Colts, and he has a record year last year.
Yeah, three touchdowns in the first half against Jacksonville.
It was insane what this guy was doing. And so Ebron, you want to talk about a renaissance man, a rebirth? This guy goes to Indianapolis, and all of a sudden you're like, he looks like a rookie, like you'd never heard of him before. I always thought that guy would blossom, and he never really did in a Detroit uniform. So I wonder if they obviously regret the fact that they didn't get more out of him, and maybe they're thinking about that. Still, I don't know whether they'd be willing to jump over, because then you're not only talking about a top seven, or in this case, maybe a top six pick for a tight end, you also have to give something else to get
there. But think about it, though. If you're the Giants, right, and there's three guys you want number six, Detroit calls, says, hey, we want to move up to six, get in front of Jacksonville. You can move down to eight, plus we'll throw in a third and a sixth. If you're the Giants, you would do that in a heartbeat. You pick up an extra third, an extra sixth, you only move two spots down, and you're still going to get one of your three guys.
I think it makes sense. You know, the additional pick, as long as that first additional pick is in that third round range, that's what I would think. All right, so the Lions, they added Trey Flowers, Justin Coleman, a safety in Andrew Adams, Danny Amendola, C.J. Anderson. They added Jesse James.
Yeah, they did.
So why would they? And then they lost Ziggy Ansah. A handful of other guys.
And they gave Jesse James decent money, but you got to remember who the coach there is, and Matt Patricia.
What
is Matt Patricia used to?
Yeah.
He's used to having two, or if not three, really good tight ends.
Yeah, fair point, because they let go of Luke Wilson. And so they've at least looked at the position, they've addressed it in free agency, and then we're going to find out whether or not that is the ultimate need. The tight ends, just for what it's worth, with the Lions last year, what was the number for the Jaguars' total catches from the tight end position?
It was awful.
It was awful. And this is probably, I'll put it to you this way, the numbers that I'm about to give you were second fewest in the NFL. They might have been second fewest to this team, okay? The tight end position, 45 receptions, 461 yards. That was it for the tight end position in Detroit last year, and that is the second fewest in both categories in the NFL. So they know they got to do something with it, but I would look at that Jesse James acquisition and think that's they've answered that problem.
Yeah, you know. So look, whether it's Hockenson, whether it's I'm off the Juwan Taylor train, I could see Jonah Williams, and I used what you said earlier. You know, Tom Coughlin had to love
what he saw
in Jonah Williams.
Oh, the love letter. Well, he read about Jonah Williams that basically charts everything in the game from a tackle's perspective and has done so. Some amazing work breaking down tendencies of opponents. It really was fascinating that he's basically put together a book of his own to prepare for game situations. It really is. And so I do believe Tom Coughlin loves that type of player. I was talking to Sinclair, a diehard Jaguar fan earlier, and he's like, Jonah Williams? And I'm like,
No juice.
Yeah, he's a. He sounds like he's a TC guy.
Well, we're well beyond.
He is.
Yeah, we're well beyond the juice. I used to be the guy.
Us three here are well beyond the juice.
But I used to be that guy saying draft somebody to get the fan base excited, and then obviously they did that time and time again with Justin Blackmon and Leonard Fournette, and it's completely blown up in our face.
Well,
let's draft somebody that's going to come in here and actually do something.
Yeah. And I've said over and over, I want the fans to get excited in September and October instead of excited in April.
Yes.
And so you've got to get a good quality player. And bottom line is offensive linemen, no one's ever going to go over the moon for those guys.
You think the Dallas Cowboy fans were fired up at Travis Frederick?
No.
Or Tyron Smith Zach Martin?
I also don't think
that's now the best offensive line in football.
They see the product, and now they understand it.
But NFL franchises don't draft for fans. They just don't.
No, they draft.
But we talk to the fans, and that's
right.
The thing.
No, I know that. But I'm saying that they're at a point now where at seven, you know, I know Tony Smith, he's big on Ed Oliver, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people in this room are big on Ed Oliver. But if you're in the position they're in right now, and you're not going to help Foles, if you're going to go defense, which I'm fine with, it better be like a lock that nothing's going to happen. No bad. He's going in day one. He's going to play. And Oliver, just from who he is and what he's been the last 2 years, red flag. And then also you start to think about a guy like that. Does he hold out? Is he a guy that holds out? They've got to have a guy that they can sign that can play day one and everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you got to look at right now. If you're this franchise, because you're under that mandate, because you need offensive help, you cannot get a defensive guy unless you absolutely know there will be zero problems with him. Zero.
Well, I think when you're getting down to, you know, those types of moves, and you gotta be forward thinking, you gotta be aggressive. Sometimes everyone says, you know, gamble, gamble, gamble. You can get burned, and this team this team has taken a few gambles. They've been burned. They probably took leaps of faith and said, we'll condition this player to do it our way as opposed to the way he has been doing it. And it can really – not just a bad decision. It could be a long-term bad decision that will stick around for a while.
It's the definition of insanity, right, doing the same thing and expecting different results. You go back to the 2010 draft. From Tyson Alualu to Blaine Gabbert to Justin Blackmon to Luke Jokel to Blake Bortles to Dante Fowler, it'll drive you insane. I just listed 6 years where you had top 10 picks in the NFL draft, and that's what you came away with. The best one of those players, Alualu, Blackmon, Gabbert, Bortles, Fowler, is probably Blake. It was probably Blake was the best pick in those 6 years.
He certainly was part of a team that went the furthest.
Yeah.
And so he was he can look back. He was a playoff quarterback. He was a starter in an AFC championship game. So, heck yeah, if you're talking about all, you know, every one of them, you know, the only other one, like I don't let them off the hook for too many of their decisions when they were picking in the top 10. They should have netted a hell of a lot more than they did. And for his time here, it was 5 years of not very good football. One of those 5 years was pretty special.
You let him off the hook with Fowler because of the knee?
No, because he came back. He was healthy. He spent two more seasons fully healthy and then was ultimately traded away in the next season.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that I will never look at that knee injury as something – like remember the kind of the storyline of Tyson Alualu, and Pete Prisco, our buddy, feeds this line to me all the time. Is that he got hurt in training camp in the Oklahoma drill, and he was never the same.
Right.
I don't believe that. Okay? I just don't believe that. So I think he was a good player, sturdy player, end of story, and that one injury never really, I don't think, held him back to where he would have been elite if not. But those other decisions that were made, Jalen Ramsey's the only one they can really, truly hang their hat on right
My
now.
Lasting memory of Tyson Alualu, the media mock draft, as a matter of fact, 2010. We just did the media mock draft for this year back on Tuesday. But back 9 years ago, Dempsey and I were doing a media mock draft. And with the 32nd pick in the media mock draft, we had our guy on from New Orleans. The Saints were coming off a Super Bowl. The 32nd final pick in the media mock draft, Juan Kincaid was his name, WWL TV,
yeah.
said, give me the Alu Alu guy from Cal.
Yeah.
And me and Dempsey looked at each other. This was before Twitter, obviously. We didn't watch a lot of Cal Bear football 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. Me and Dempsey looked at each other like, who the hell is this guy talking about? We had no idea. Little did we know 24 hours later, with the 10th pick in the draft, that they would go Tyson Alu Alu.
And it's a good story to remember because, you know, I've told the story before about the, you know, the other part of this Alu Alu discussion is that in that building downtown,
yes.
the general manager then was Gene Smith and had locked in, and I'm convinced of this because more than one let me know of this, he had locked in on that player for an entire week. An entire week. He was convinced that was the guy he was going to go for. Nothing was going to change his mind. And you get to a point where when you're picking, what was it, in the 10th slot, you can look at a couple of opportunities that could have been made in terms of moving out of that spot. He wanted that guy. Wanted that guy and didn't think he was going to be available later.
Mm. And Alu Alu, or Alu Alu, Alu Alu. Alu Alu, by the way, he was okay. His biggest fault here is that he wasn't named Tim Tebow.
Well, but like I said earlier, he was a serviceable defensive lineman. End of story.
Right.
He was good against the run. End of story.
He was a tough, physical football player.
And a very, very nice individual. But that was it. Nothing else. It was not a worthy
top 10. He's made a nice little career
10.
For himself, though.
Hell yeah.
You know, with the Steelers now, I mean, he's, what, 9 years in the league. It's not terrible.
Oh, no.
Not worth the 10th overall pick.
Right. It doesn't matter what we say after it. It's still not worth the top 10 pick, that's for sure. All right, so we're going to get to some of your predictions. You can let us know, 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford, the text line. You can let us know who you want tonight, who you're going for. We do have some tweets that we want to get to on that front as well. It's XL Primetime.
This is XL Primetime on 1010XL, built by Preferred Builders.
Not only do we have the Jags Draft Night Special with Frangi Baselli-Lagerman, after that, into the night with Rick Ballew, he will go from 10 p.m. to midnight tonight, so you'll have plenty of time to interact, react to everything that's going on with the NFL Draft. So make sure that you guys are listening and tuning
in. This is a little bizarre.
What is it?
The official Twitter account of the Jaguars just tweeted out, in six drafts as our general manager, Dave Caldwell has never traded down in round one. That doesn't
Dave's
mean he's
not here.
Thank you, JJ. That okay. doesn't mean he's adverse to the idea. Anything mm-hmm. can happen tonight.
Oh, that's good. Just throw it out there, feeler.
That's a little bizarre that the official Twitter account of the Jaguars would tweet that out.
Foreshadowing much?
They're trying to make people
think.
Or
they're trying to get people, you know, hey, you know. We're not averse to it.
The Jaguars have been rumored. Jacksonville, Tampa was one of the Tampa doesn't make sense. Because if they trade out, it means they're not getting Devin White. But Jacksonville, Tampa, and I believe Detroit have been the three that you've heard would like to get out of the top 10. The teams that would like to come into the top 10. You've heard Washington. You've heard Atlanta. And you've heard Cincinnati. Now, Washington and Cincinnati. Houston, right.
Yeah.
Washington, Cincinnati's for Haskins. Houston would be for an offensive tackle. Either Juwan Taylor, Jonah Williams, or Andre Dillard. Atlanta's weird. I don't know why Atlanta thinks they need to get into the top 10. Greedy Williams has been mocked there a lot, the corner from LSU. You would think you could get him at 14.
Right.
But if Atlanta wants to get into the top 10, they're obviously thinking something that not a lot of others are thinking.
Okay, let me give you a number. Matt Ryan was sacked 42 times last season.
Oh, then they want to tackle them.
Okay, 42 times, second most in any season of his career. And just compare that to 24 sacks the previous year. So it went south for them. So maybe they are jumping in to get one of those linemen. And so
because you get the sense once the first tackle, because Taylor Dillard and Jonah Williams mm-hmm. seem like a trio. Once one of them goes, it's going to be a domino effect. They're all going to go really quick.
But the good news for that alone is that Jacksonville certainly could have an opportunity if they don't want the linemen to get someone to jump in there. And it's valuable enough to where people may want to do that based on the teams that are going for it, Atlanta, Houston, and as you said, a couple of other players there in the quarterback derby as well. What will happen tonight? None of us truly know, but we're all trying to guess, throw out some forecasts, which took us back to this moment. This is always worth reliving. JJ pulled it up, and so this is the 25th anniversary of this particular meltdown.
Oh, yeah.
So 25 years ago today, Colts GM Bill Tobin went on a rant after Mel Kiper went after Indy for drafting linebacker Trev Alberts over quarterback Trent Dilfer. And I agree with Dane Brugler when he put it out there. Classic moment in NFL draft history. Roll the tape.
One question, Bill. A lot of criticism about not taking a quarterback here. Your response?
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
That made Mel Kiper's career. That was almost Mel Kiper's start, if you will.
It was so funny.
I mean, to be fair, Mel was
who are
dead
you?
On right.
Yeah. Oh, that's dead on accurate. The beautiful part about it is that Trev Alberts, now he also may have had some injuries that could have led to
neither were any good.
Yeah, certainly lessening his career.
Trent won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but going jumping for Trent Dilfer, come on.
Let me ask you guys this. Yay or nay? I'm going to throw out there some bold predictions. CBS Sports put them up this morning, or actually early this afternoon. Just quick, yay or nay? I don't even really have to give me an explanation if you don't want. The Raiders are going to trade the number one and draft Kyler Murray this evening.
I'm gonna say that they draft. I like the drafting Dwayne Haskins possibility more than I do Kyler Murray.
Matt, Raiders trade up to number one to take Kyler Murray.
Well, real quick, I just want to go back to this real quick. And I'm not really a Mel Kiper guy, but Mel's still around. Bill Tobin is.
Yeah, 25 okay? years ago.
Right,
exactly.
Right, 25 yeah. years later. Yeah. You know, I. It's getting late right now, okay? We're at 2 o'clock. We got 5 hours before this thing starts. And again, anything could happen. I totally understand that. But as we get closer and closer and closer to it, I don't think anybody's going there. And then you got to think, if you're the Cardinals, I mean, what are you doing?
You were trying to get Prisco everyone to might fall in
be
love with
Prisco
this guy.
Might be right. He yeah. might be right that their idea is to keep Rosen all along. So yeah. so or the Cardinals might be thinking, look, no one's going to give us what we want for this cat. So now what do? Now we draft Murray, then we have even less value.
Mm-hmm.
Or we stay with Rosen because you can't have Rosen there. If you stay with him, then what do? You've already burned bridges mm-hmm. with the kid.
Right, because it's been a disaster. Guy on the text line pointed out that if you were going to go Kyler Murray, a lot of teams will announce it early if they've negotiated and made sure they're going to get a deal.
Right.
Then you can start the move Josh Rosen thing, get some phone calls generated before you get to the actual pick.
Right, yeah. Now what I told Hack earlier is maybe Rosen's part of this because they told him, look, we are keeping you, but we want to do whatever we can to get whatever we can for Kyler Murray
mm-hmm.
for that first pick. I think that's doubtful.
But it's possible.
I think it's possible. It's absolutely possible. So the idea then right now, the Cardinals are in a bad situation right now. We got 5 hours to go, and they have to do something. They got to do something. It's got to be quick.
All right, let me throw – I think there's five more yay or nays. Number two, the Giants will not take a quarterback at 6. They also will not take a quarterback at 17.
Do you think they will take a quarterback
tonight?
Yeah, that's a big fat no.
Yeah, I'm going big fat no, too. That's
all right, so they got to find a replacement for Eli. Yeah. I mean, you got to. And you got two first-round picks.
Yeah, the Book of Eli is in its final chapter.
It's a great movie, by the way.
Paris Campbell.
Great movie.
Paris Campbell will be the first wide receiver drafted tonight.
I'm gonna say no.
I'm going to say yay. And I don't think he's the most accomplished, by far not the most accomplished receiver, but he's the fastest. And, of course, in the NFL – all they care about.
Speed. They fall in love with it.
Another wide receiver, the combine freak, DK Metcalf out of Ole Miss, will not hear his name called in round number one.
I don't think that's true. I think he will be drafted in the first round. He'll probably be late. Had a guy earlier, Jay, from Diehard Listener. He wants Metcalf at 7, or he wants TJ or TK, I think is what he said.
He wants some weapons for Foles.
Yeah. And I said, man, I just can't go in on Metcalf because I think he's the old combine eyes that I've declared. You know?
Matt, will Metcalf get drafted tonight?
I'm absolutely in the first round. Absolutely. Someone
will fall in love.
And we talked about this earlier. There are 98% of those guys in the NFL, personnel guys, are all form guys. He's this, he's that, and he runs this. Pick him. And somebody will do that.
If this happens tonight, I don't know if we've ever seen this in the NFL. Maybe we have. This might be a JJ question, who is the equivalent of our ESPN stats and info guy. Both Iowa Hawkeyes tight ends, TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant, will be drafted in the top 12?
I'm going to go top 15, so I'll say no.
Well, I don't even know top. Have two tight ends from the same program in the same year
been drafted
in the top 15?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
This is rare. This really is a unique opportunity for the Hawkeyes to recruit off of that for a little bit if it happens.
Yeah, I'll say this. If they are drafted in 12, I don't think they're both going to go in 12. If they are drafted in the top 12 and the Jags, for whatever reason, didn't take a tight end at 7 and took whoever Josh Allen falls to him or
Juwan,
God
or
forbid,
whatever.
Ed Oliver, yeah, whatever, okay? They're going to have to trade up quick because that's going to start a little run. Someone's going to try and get Irv Smith. So they better trade up and get Irv Smith then.
All right, two more. Less than 4 quarterbacks will be taken on Thursday night in round 1.
I'm going to say more. I'm going to say 4 or more.
You say 4 or more?
So I'm going no to that.
You're going no to that. You think 4 or more?
So the
more.
Over is 3.
The over is 3.
Basically. Yeah, I'm going to take the over.
All right, so tonight.
Because we said it before, 3.5, which
right.
is the same exact thing.
I mean, that's easy. It's Murray, it's Haskins, it's Locke, and it's Daniel Jones.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Now, again, the Daniel Jones thing is weird because people love him or hate him.
And Locke's the wild card.
And Locke's the wild card. In fact, I saw Drew Locke in a mock was going 28 to the Chargers to be the heir apparent to Phillip Rivers. You've seen Locke really all over the board. And then finally, more Clemson Tigers will have their names called tonight than members of the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's going to be close.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be
I'm
real
going
close.
Yes.
Right, so Alabama's going to have Jonah Williams. They're going to have Quinnen Williams. They're going to have Josh Jacobs. That's
maybe.
3.
And then the
Is
other
there any other Alabama guys that could go tonight?
Irv could go tonight.
Yeah, they could have 4.
I don't think Deontay Thompson's going tonight.
I'm
going
to go Alabama.
So that's 4. Clemson, you're going to have Wilkins, Farrell.
Irv could go 4, yeah.
Yeah, I bet more Alabama guys are going to go
tonight.
Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, he won't go.
Anybody else other than those 3 D linemen?
He might go
first.
You're right.
He might go in first.
I think Dexter
Lawrence. But I'm
going to
go Bama.
But, yeah, I mean, it's all going to depend on Irv, actually, is what it's going to be. If there's a little run on tight ends and Irv goes, people panic, yeah, I think it could, yeah.
Does Deontay Thompson have any prayer going tonight, the safety from Alabama?
In the first round?
Yeah, late first round.
Yeah, maybe late.
Yeah, would be late.
We'll see. But, again, that's just something interesting. Again, I think more Alabama guys will go. Those are kind of the bold predictions, the yay or nay that CBS threw out there earlier today.
That's the best question, by the way. That's pretty good. I like that.
We'll follow that with a few more odds. I love those things, just kind of contemplating what could happen.
Yeah.
And it really does, with all the players we talked about, speak volumes about how many good players we've been treated to in the college football world.
Here's one, Florida State tonight. Brian Burns goes.
Mm-hmm.
Juwan Taylor goes.
Mm-hmm.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson?
No.
I think it's Burns, and I think it's definitely a maybe. But those are the Burns is the only Seminole.
But it goes back
tonight.
To your Deontay Thompson question.
Yeah,
and so I would think he just rates a little bit further, and I don't know positionally whether they've thought about cornerback, safety, or whatever. But we know he's a roamer and a star when it comes to that.
Here's a better
position.
Local one. Does Ja'Kai Polite get picked in the first round?
No, I would be stunned.
I don't know if I'd go as quickly as that.
All right, so let's keep that going.
A quick update before we go to break on his tight end question. No teammates have even been drafted in the first round together, tight end wise.
Yeah. So this would be rare.
Interesting.
And Hawkeye Nation will recruit off of this one for a long time if they can. But we'll update the Twitter poll. And it was very simple, brought to you by Beaver Toyota of St. Augustine. What position? It's time to make the pick. Who do you want? We gave you 3 names and then a defensive player because the possibility of a defensive player falling may make you want to go in that direction. We'll update that coming up on XL Primetime.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
19 minutes after the 2 o'clock hour, you got the Frangie Show cranking up 3 o'clock down at the stadium, TIAA Bank Field. And you've got everything going on around Daly's Place, Pet Paradise, Draft Night. You can go to Jaguars.com, make sure you download your pass, and head on down there. Let us know if you're going, and definitely soak up the scene. And if you want to join us tomorrow, we'll be at Topgolf, courtesy of Corona, for the event that they're sponsoring with Leon and many others, including, I think he said, 22, 23 Jaguars right now. That will be out there on Sunday for their 25th anniversary special event. Topgolf from 4 to 7 on Sunday, but we will be out there noon to 3 tomorrow.
Right, so any of you guys seen Leon swing before?
No. I'm hoping that I can maybe just give him one or two swing thoughts. Huntington said the other day he might be able to help because he's a big man, so he can definitely help him. But we just don't want him to whiff. That's
I'm gonna
all
need
we're
video.
Trying to do.
Going to need video of that.
Yeah, it's true. Make sure he does not whiff. All right, so listen to these draft props going off of what we were just doing with the possibility of, what was it, Clemson versus Alabama, who would have more drafted. Defensive players have been red hot. We've talked about it. I'm a little surprised that the first-round number is 17.5. I thought it would be a little bit higher to bet on that. That's just slightly over half. So I think that's a doable bet.
Yeah, when you think about the offensive guys, though, well, I mean, you're talking four quarterbacks. You're talking minimum three offensive tackles.
Yep.
All right, you're talking minimum two tight ends. All of a sudden, that gets you to 9. That would be 23 defensive guys.
Yeah, no running back, no wide receiver.
Maybe a wide receiver or two. We don't know. Yeah. I mean, Hollywood Brown, Metcalf. I think that's a safe bet over 17.5 defensive guys.
I'd probably do that.
It gets a little hairy, though, when you think about it.
I told you what an NFL scout told me, that every single team could pick a defensive player, and they'd all have a solid player. They'd all have a guy that is going to play.
Yeah, it's that good. It's that good. Now, this one fascinates me because I'm the gambler. I love it. And I was telling you guys earlier when I was listening coming in that I'm on the Leon train, that I hope we have just, you know, nothing but chaos tonight.
Yep.
This is a surprising number. What do you think the round one trades betting number is over under for tonight?
For trades that actually go down?
Total number of trades.
It was like 6 last year, I believe.
There were 6. That's a very good piece of intel right there.
I'll
JJ
say 6.
Provides it again.
Yeah.
JJ Stats and Info. That may be my new name for him. I think that's a good one.
I'll go with 6.
So what? So you're asking me what I think the over is.
Yeah, what do you think the betting number is, the over-under number that they set?
5.5.
It's 7.5.
Wow.
So I'm a little surprised by that. So hopefully we will get some action tonight. You got many others. Will a top 10 pick be traded? Like the Jaguars would certainly be a candidate for that. And then the quarterback selection, all the stuff that we were talking about before. So, yeah. So let's go back to the Ja'Kai Polite thing.
Well, when you talk about the local guys, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Miami. No offense to Leon. No offense to JJ. I don't know if there's a Miami guy getting drafted tonight. Okay. So then you go to Georgia. Now, Georgia's had a lot of draft picks in years past. This year,
DeAndre Baker.
Baker's probably the only one that's going to go in round one.
I mean, maybe.
Riley Ridley, I don't think so. That's probably more round two.
But he's right there at the bottom.
Yeah, could somebody take Riley Ridley 30, 31, 32? Yeah. They could. I wouldn't be shocked by that. But I would think DeAndre Baker's the only dog.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Burns, probably the only Florida State Seminole. Although, did you see Mel Kiper's final mock draft?
Who did he move
up? Had Brian Burns going 8 to Detroit, all the way up into the top 10. And then for Florida, you're probably looking Juwan Taylor and then maybe Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Like
I just think Ja'Kai Polite hurt himself so bad at the combine.
He tumbled.
That I don't think he's made up enough ground to go in round one.
Yeah, he didn't tumble. He free-falled.
Absolutely.
He really did. He didn't like the interview process, apparently wasn't prepared for it.
Talked about the questions he got from other teams.
He was not prepared.
On media,
not prepared at all. And there's been at least a little bit of a concern about people around him, the old circle. And then he followed that up with not such a hot pro day deal.
And the bad question, too, does he like football?
Yeah.
When you get the does he like football question, that's a bad question to get.
So I think he's a day two selection. I don't know whether it's second or third round. People that are high on him are high on him because they still think he's got that rare talent, enough strength and enough quickness to be able to get around a big tackle and hit the quarterback.
I mean, again, I keep going back to it. I don't know where and why and how your tape is your resume. Suddenly it doesn't hold as much weight as it used to.
Well, I think
that guy on the field.
Right.
You want to talk about a guy that can get after the pass.
Yeah, but keep this in mind. We're still talking about a second or third round, which is not a bad place to be.
It's not.
But
it's certainly not first.
Yeah, but just tell me, we have had too many Gators that have had singular seasons instead of careers.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay, and
absolutely.
I think Ja'Kai Polite falls into that category, a single season. And so while I like what I saw, I think he's just the size doesn't quite add up for me, and that I still think he's a guy that, technique-wise, you could easily get swallowed up by tackles if you're not careful.
Unless he's a guy who, if you're playing a 50 defense, he's one of those outside guys.
True. And we'll find out. But I think Polite, he's got to wait at least a night before he goes.
Yeah, so again, Kiper, Brian Burns, 8 to Detroit. Kiper has Juwan Taylor from Florida, 12 to Green Bay. I don't know if he had DeAndre Baker going in round one. I don't think he did. So I think those are the only Seminole, Gator, Hurricane, or Bulldogs. By the way, Jeffrey Simmons went in our media mock draft to Indianapolis, the Mississippi State kid, the torn ACL. Kuiper has him going there in his final one. I mentioned this to you guys off air yesterday, worth bringing up real quick. Jeffrey Simmons' torn ACL may be the best thing that ever happened to him.
PR-wise,
because
yeah.
How PR-wise, many yeah. times have we talked about that video of him punching that girl in the face since he tore his ACL? We haven't. It's all about the torn ACL now, and people almost feeling sorry for the kid that he got hurt in the pre-draft workout.
Yeah, can he climb back into the first round somehow?
Not one word about him punching that girl in the face.
And I think I heard Tony Pauline yesterday on Jaguars Today with Tony just talking about the idea that he easily could be a late first rounder. But Tony Pauline, this is just his speculation, is that he feels like you're going to miss an entire first half of the season at a minimum with this guy. And you don't want to rush him back, that type of deal, which I tend to agree with. But yeah, the story around Jeffrey Simmons is no longer about hitting somebody. It's about, can he come back from it? And it's funny how it goes, but that's exactly how it happened.
It will also, like, wherever he goes without the knee injury, like if he didn't have the knee injury, wherever he goes, the press conference for the entire hour would be about the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the press conference will start with the woman, okay? Then it will quickly go to the knee. When will he come back? When will he be ready? It'll almost be like a cursory look at what happened with you and the woman, and then it'll go right to the knee.
And then if he does get on the field and perform, it will go back to the woman.
Back to the woman, right.
We do know that, or I'm not laughing, but we do know that that's just the way the wheel works in our world, that's for sure. All right, your reaction. We've got a few off the text line. We want to squeeze in a call if we can. 641-1010. We'll get your comments coming up on XL Primetime.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC.
This from Adam Schefter, ESPN. We talk about a lot of teams trying to trade into the top 10. We mentioned Atlanta, maybe Cincinnati, maybe Washington. Well, add another team to that mix. Reportedly, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I can't remember the last time they made a big draft day deal. Apparently, the Steelers are trying to, or at least exploring the idea of trading into the top 10, which begs the question, guys, why would Pittsburgh want to get into the top 10? Now, Pittsburgh, where are they? They're at number 20 right now.
Yeah, that would be a big jump.
It would be expensive to get all the way to the top 10, but Joe, why do you believe, I know I'm catching you off guard with this.
No, I look at it. Here's what they don't have. They don't have headaches. That's number one. In Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. That you have to remember. But they also lost Jesse James. They lost Marcus Gilbert.
Well, can you imagine Hawkinson with the Steelers?
Yeah, okay, I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there right now, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers might be looking at the opportunity to draft T.J. Hawkinson. I mentioned earlier that Detroit, I think, fills a need with Jesse James. I like that player. And they could be jumping maybe for a tight end that Ben can feed the football to. While Juju Smith-Schuster has been outstanding, they need that tight end target.
Of course, Pittsburgh did make a quality acquisition with Dante Moncrief
at the
wide receiver position. That'll really help them this year.
Yeah, that'll show up in September for sure. But how about this number? All right, you ready for this? Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster combined for 53% of the Steelers' receiving yards last year. Over half from those two guys. And so the only two guys in the league that as a combo combined for more were Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. That's it. So those guys hauled in a huge amount. So it's not to say that they're going to go reach for a wide receiver. I think they may reach for a tight end.
I like that. I like your thought there. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking you trade Marcus Gilbert, your right tackle. Mm-hmm. Could Pittsburgh trying to be get up to take Jonah Williams
or
Andre Dillard, somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's still certainly in play. But I'm looking at that tight end. Yeah. I'm going, "Arr."
I think it's offensive line.
Yeah. Because, offensive line definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why I'm looking on the outside and just trying to come up with a different angle, because I do think the tight end position makes some sense for them.
And no chance that they're trading up to try and get Drew Lock. No chance.
I don't think so. I saw one. This was yesterday, and I don't know what to – you know, any of these things can make – you can come up with a story or you can say this is nothing. But Drew Lock told our dudes – Mickey Ryan and Brent Daugherty, those guys,
that he met with the Titans a couple of times. Not once, but a couple of times.
Wow.
And he said he loves the staff and particularly quarterback coach Pat O'Hara. And the Titans, we all know, they're not in love with Marcus Mariota.
They bring in Tannehill.
And they brought him in.
Yeah.
I don't know how many quarterbacks they could employ, but at the very least, they may be looking second day if something like that were to happen. He may not be around second day. I've already voted
second day.
Yeah, I've already voted that this is going to be a four quarterback first round. But
is there any chance? Any chance?
I can't imagine.
This is your guy.
I don't think he's going to be around at the 15 picks. He's going with the first 15.
Any chance Will Greer gets his name called tonight?
I saw a couple mocks. One of them had the Patriots taking him with the last pick in the first round. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think people are worried about his arm strength, and we went over that with his. We were at the Senior Bowl. All those metrics that the NFL uses for arm velocity and strength. He was better than Baker Mayfield was at the Senior Bowl last year.
I get the vibe, Joe, that Will Greer, maybe Irv Smith, the tight end from Alabama, maybe a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson are going to be the names we're talking about 24 hours from now. That are the best still available.
I do too. Yeah.
And you're going to have to get guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Teams are going to want to trade up. Who's going to be able to get Will Greer? Who's going to move into the 33-34 spot to take that guy?
Yeah, and I don't mind the possibility not only of this team maybe moving out of 7 and doing something to collect some capital. I don't mind the possibility of doing the exact same thing on day 2. Exact same thing.
What about 11:30 tonight during End of the Night with Rick Ballew, right about pick 30, pick 31? How shocked would you be if the Jaguars moved back into the tail end of round 1?
I'd be a little shocked. The only thing that wouldn't shock me is if they had already done a deal to move back with the first one.
Okay.
Then that means they've got goods, right? That means they've got some firepower to offer to somebody else to move back.
Well, I was thinking about what you guys were saying, and I'll give you guys credit. I think you're right. It took me a night to sleep on it. But if, like, Irv Smith is there at 30, do you call up the Rams and say, we'll give you 38, we'll give you one of our thirds, and we'll give you a sixth to get in front of the Patriots?
That's best-case scenario. Best-case scenario for me is either you take the tackle you want or somehow Josh Allen falls to you.
Right,
you get Josh Allen,
okay?
And then you do everything you can to get to that end of that round if Irv Smith hasn't been picked. And you end up – if you end up with Josh Allen and Irv Smith in this draft after the first night of the draft, you'll be possibly better than anybody else in the draft.
The Baltimore Ravens had 2 in the first round. They moved, jumped back in to get Lamar. And they were able to turn that team around and get to the postseason. So not to say every time you do that, it always works, but it's certainly possible. JJ, speaking of all these positions, update the Twitter poll.
Yes, our poll question of the day, as always, brought to you by Beaver Toyota. It's decision time. Who do you want to take? TJ Hockenson, Juwan Taylor, Jonah Williams, or a defensive player? I could tell you nobody wants Juwan Taylor. 4%.
Whoa.
Our boy Tej up there. 66%, really not a close second. Second place, 18% with a defensive player, and Jonah Williams, third place.
You know, are Jaguar fans jaded by Juwan Taylor because of how awful the University of Florida players, not named Fred Taylor, have been here?
The standard line is, which is, all right, just straight off the text line, driven by Duval Ford, the 612 says, just don't draft Taylor. Florida players are bust city.
I mean, Mike Pearson, second round, Reggie Nelson, first round, Taven Bryan. Although I don't think that's fair. It's only been 1 year. Derek Harvey, to me, is the worst pick in Jaguar history. They have had a lot of awfulness from Gainesville, Florida, come here to Jacksonville, very high in the draft.
Yeah, and you could go down the line, and there are – you see the talent, you think it's going to translate, and there are just too many examples of where, for whatever reason, they don't. And the most recent, of course, was Dante, not
Dante Fowler. It's another one. I mean, but Fred Taylor was great. Bobby McCray was a 7th-round pick.
Right. He was,
they got 10 sacks here.
And then he
so
signed,
they've had some success from
he signed a nice deal, but we're talking about a 3rd pick overall versus the 9th pick. The 9th pick looks like, what was it, 3 times later? He's more than 3 times better than what Dante Fowler was. So, he was the best, but you have had a couple of them that have been drafted high that haven't turned out. One guy says trade down and get Greedy Williams. We'll give you a few more of the thoughts that are out there.
Greedy Williams?
I'm just saying, hey, listen.
Oh, I know.
These
are their
opinions.
You got Jalen Ramsey, you got Boye, and you got DJ Hayton.
You got three really, really, really good corners. You're not taking Greedy Williams.
No. DJ Hayton actually, when healthy, was able to do some okay things.
I like DJ Hayton last year.
He just he went through that stretch, both he and Fournette. They were out for a long time. When he came back, he was productive. We'll wrap our show up, hand it off to the Franchise Show coming up.
XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010 XL.
It is What's It Gonna Be time for XL Primetime. Joe C., Ryan, the Hack Green, Matthew Hayes, JJ LaSelva. It is time to make our pick, our selection. We have had all sorts of theories played out. We've had plenty of suggestions as far as what people think may or may not go down. I still reserve the right that I said defensive player early, but I am gravitating to the tight end position of one T.J. Hockenson. I think it's necessary. I think it's needed. I think this team has been playing 10 on 11 without the use of the tight end position in today's NFL. T.J. Hockenson's my selection.
Yeah, like I've said, assuming Quinnen Williams doesn't plummet to 7 and assuming Josh Allen is not there at 7, I'm going T.J. Hockenson as well. If Allen for some reason falls, and certainly if Quinnen Williams for some reason falls, that would certainly change my thoughts. But I can't imagine Quinnen Williams being there, Matt, and I don't think Josh Allen's going to be there. So with that as a backdrop, I, like Joe, am also going T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah, I'm not falling in line. Not doing it. Not doing it. Unless Josh Allen falls, I think they're trading back.
And so a selection on who you think they will get.
I think they'll trade back, and depending on how far they go, I think they'll get a tackle. And maybe Jonah Williams is there, maybe Dillard's there. I think they're going to get a tackle, and I think they're going to get a tight end, be it later in the first, be it Fant or Irv Smith.
Okay, so move back, but still address that tackle need. JJ?
I'm an Ed Oliver guy.
Oh.
Just based on the bobblehead that he sent you last year.
I'm going to end up...
Ed Oliver did try to win over Joe's heart and his Heisman vote.
I'm going
to
will that to JJ when it's all
JJ,
said.
JJ, I threw it away when I moved up here, man. If I'd have known that, I'd have saved it, man.
Yeah. I'm going to will that to the man.
I am an avid collector of random sports crap.
Yeah.
So much of that holler stuff I threw out, dude.
Holler at your boy, he says. All right, so seriously, I that's what it comes down to, is the tight end position, a special elite defensive player.
Would you be happy about that?
I would be okay with the defensive player. Like I said,
Hockenson.
Yeah.
You would be happy.
Yeah, I'm good with Hockenson, too.
Yeah, because my ranting and raving about just how this team has been void of any real talent at that position, and I'll repeat the numbers that I threw out earlier this week. This team was at or near the bottom when it comes to tight end work, and you can't make a living in the National Football League that way when this team, every team out there, I mentioned Jesse James. I love watching this guy play. There's a handful of those guys we all know are out there. Yards per reception from the tight end position in 2018 for the Jacksonville Jaguars was dead last. The receiving yards, 28th in the league. Receiving touchdowns, tied for last. So you can't have that position not doing anything for you in today's NFL.
A lot of lofty expectations on T.J. Hockenson. We've heard the Travis Kelce comparison. We've heard the Jason Witten
probably a little
comparison.
Unfair.
Yeah. Woo! If he is 60, 70% of what those two guys are, he would absolutely be worth a top 10 pick.
Right. Well,
so, yeah.
I mean, I would hope he's that close. If you're spending the 7 pick on him, I would hope he's that close.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope you at least feel like he's a guy that's going to get you. We're going to put him in there, and he's going to catch 60 balls. He's going to get 6-7 touchdowns for us. He's going to be a monster blocker in the run game.
And that's really what it does come down to, is that you have to project. And I've always maintained it's better to be lucky than good. As my friend Robbie Rose would say, you've got to be lucky here, so you've got to guess right. You could do all the work you want, and certainly the work will pay off, but you've got to have some luck on your side too, because you just don't know. Will it translate from the college level to the NFL level? I'm having a good discussion with Denny Thompson from the Sports Den earlier about Kyler Murray, and he talks about just that special thing that he has, and it is the it factor to go along with a marvelous arm talent, the ability to improvise, the ability to escape, all that stuff. And I love the debate, because I'm at a point where I'm like, at some point, whatever you were able to do on any level, it comes to an end. And I just think these defenders can close the gaps so quickly. And if you're a poor decision maker, a hesitant guy, you're going to get swallowed up quickly. And I don't know whether that's the case for him. Instead of betting for him, betting against. That's not a knock on Kyler Murray. It's just me trying to project what I think he's going to do next level.
5 hours till the Arizona Cardinals officially go on the clock. Grant, they've basically been on the clock for the last 4 months. Mm-hmm. It becomes official at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. Is Kyler Murray going to be an Arizona Cardinal?
I say no. And let's project this here real quick. All right.
I would be stunned if Kyler Murray does not end up in Arizona. Yeah. I'd be stunned.
All right, let me put it to you this way. I would not be surprised at all if he goes there. That will not surprise me. But I won't be stunned if he doesn't, because I think they've been playing this game of cat and mouse, trying to attract suitors, trying to line up Kingsbury with the idea that this is the only guy that can run his air raid. And if they screw this up, the Arizona Cardinals, they are already a failing franchise, okay? They hire a coach. 1 year later, they run him out of there. It is just a hot mess.
Keep in mind, they were featured in Jerry Maguire, though.
They are just a hot mess. I mean, they haven't convinced anybody of any. They haven't gotten any suitors whatsoever, and they haven't announced that they're negotiating with anybody.
Right.
This time last year, that was done with Baker Mayfield.
This is my point. We're 5 hours away. Usually, you'll hear some NFL reporter will report that so and so is negotiating, or that they're interested in Josh Rosen, or they're interested in moving to one. We've heard none of that.
No.
None.
No.
And they're in a bad position right now. They cannot start the draft and still have Josh Rosen. They can't.
Totally weakens their negotiating.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Planning your Cinco party? Order Moe's Catering for your Cinco party and score a $5 gift card for everyone in your party. Order online at moescateringfl.com.
Tony Smith, he is embedded down there at the stadium, TIAA Bank Field.
He's the Iron Man today, man.
Yeah, yeoman's work out of you.
Yeah, and I've decided that since I'm here, that means that I'm in charge. So for the next 4 hours, we're going to discuss Spikeball, which I watched for the first time the other night on ESPN2. No, obviously, we'll be getting in deep into whatever the Jags are going to do with the number 7 pick tonight, live here from Daly's Place. The crowd will be flocking in as we go through the show. We got the draft show coming up after us. It should be fun.
I know that fans, like, the energy is there to get something good out of this draft, and we've all battled and debated and all this stuff, and you've even thrown out some crazy stuff, Tony, about Dwayne Haskins as a possibility. But where do you think they ultimately will land with the 7th pick?
I think ultimately with a guy like Tom Coughlin having the final say on anything they're going to do, it's hard for me to imagine that with a team picking 7th in an NFL draft and likely having the option of any offensive lineman that they want available to them in a draft led by Tom Coughlin, that the decision won't be an offensive lineman. And if I'm going to go with an offensive lineman, the guy that I think is most likely is Jonah Williams. If you were to corner me and pick one guy, I'm guessing the pick tonight's going to be Jonah.
Okay. It'll certainly be interesting if TJ Hockenson is on the board, or Tony, if the Jaguars get lucky and a Josh Allen were to fall, or goodness knows if a Quinnen Williams were to fall, I'd be stunned if Allen or Williams, those two talents in particular, if they're there at 7, I almost think you have to go defense at that point.
Absolutely. And I think there's an assumption, at least that I'm making, and you never know how these things are going to play out, but the assumption I'm making is Kyler Murray goes 1, and then 5 defensive players are coming off the board. That's what I think is going to happen. I think 4 of them are going to be defensive linemen, and it'll be those 4 premier defensive linemen. And the Jags will be in a situation where you have your choice of the O-line guys. You could take TJ Hockenson if you want. Or if you liked a guy like Montez Sweat, who apparently the medicals are changing on by the minute with what he actually is dealing with, they could go that direction. But I think ultimately if they're put in that spot, those defensive linemen come off, linebacker comes off, 1 quarterback is off the board, which I think is the most likely scenario, that they go with the best offensive lineman available.
All right, bro. We will be listening. You guys will have it from 3 until 7 with the Frangie Show, then the Draft Night Special after that. Have fun down there. We'll see you in a bit.
Thanks, guys.
Tony Smith ready to rock and roll with Hayes Carline, Lauren Brooks. They are all down there. We are done. We are out of here. We had a good time today with XL Primetime. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Zaxby's, one of our sponsors on a Thursday. You can find them in Bartram Park, which is right off of Old St. Augustine Road. They're ready to serve you in the St. John's Town Center next to Daly's, and off or on University Boulevard off of I-95, just east of the interstate. You can check out Zaxby's for a great meal, especially when you're taking the team out, win or lose. We're going to be at Topgolf tomorrow, doing our show from noon to 3, so hopefully you guys will come on out and hang out with us.
Yeah, we'll obviously review what's gone on in the first round, and then tomorrow, Joe, like I mentioned, the Jaguars, if they stay put, will have 3 picks tomorrow night. 1 in the 2nd, 2 in the 3rd. could be a big, big 36-hour period for the Jaguars.
I like that a lot. All right, we will talk to you mañana. Definitely hit us on social media once these picks are made with everything that you're thinking about your Jacksonville Jaguars. Good job, JJ, as always. Top Golf tomorrow at noon.
Tony Smith, Hayes Caroline, Lauren Brooks, they'll have it for you from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and then the draft show, Frangie Baselli-Lagerman from 7 to 10 right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Enjoy the draft, everybody.